today, total 5 bans in entire New South Wales and ACT. And while Sydney will breathe a sigh of relief as temperatures cool, other parts of New South Wales are expected to face unprecedented catastrophic fire danger. Paul Best from the Rural Fire Service has told Macquarie Radio people need to be aware of conditions in their area and be prepared to move quickly.
We've got a lot of areas of the state that are facing extreme and catastrophic fire danger, as well as a lot of areas of severe and very high. We're going to see today the worst fire conditions that we've seen for a very long time.
Meanwhile, residents of WA's Goldfields Midlands have been warned of severe weather heading their way. The Department of Fire and Emergency Services says those in the area east of Leonora and Menzies and south of Rolina, including Laverton and surrounds, need to be aware of conditions that may include damaging winds, heavy rainfall and large hailstones. Some flooding's also expected in the Avon River catchment around Northam, Beverley, York and Tudier. Dean Roberts from Main Roads WA says people in those areas need to drive with care.
Especially through the Wheatbelt area in the Great Southern at the moment, where we have rivers rising and occasional flooding on roads.
A man's been arrested after a body was discovered in a Melbourne home. The body of a 73-year-old man was found at a home on Baxter Street, Coburg, yesterday afternoon. A 42-year-old man from Coburg has been arrested and is helping police with their inquiries. Police are investigating a robbery at Orange in New South Wales yesterday afternoon. Police say two men went into a home on Isley Road and assaulted a man while stealing a laptop and cigarettes. In Queensland's Ipswich area, police have charged a man over an armed robbery at nearby Eastern Heights. A man pulled a knife on staff at a store on Cemetery Road and demanded cash, after which he ran off. Police picked up a 32-year-old local man. He's been charged and will appear in court tomorrow. Overseas, US President Donald Trump says he's considering a new executive order to ban citizens of certain countries from travelling to the US after his initial attempt was overturned in the courts. Mr. Trump insists a brand new order could be issued as early as tomorrow or Tuesday after the appeals court in San Francisco upheld a court ruling to suspend his original order, which barred entry from citizens from 7 mainly Muslim countries. A car bomb has exploded outside a bank in the capital of Afghanistan's Helmand province, Lashkargah. 6 people are believed to have been killed, and this report is from the BBC's Alia Atravi.
This was probably seen as a soft target because this is the only bank in the city where Afghan National Army personnel can get their salaries. So no much how secure they make the actual bank, the parking is always full of military personnel. And that's what the Taliban are saying. They targeted, they call puppets of foreigners. But our report suggests that most of the 25 persons injured in the casualties are mainly civilians.
In other news, in Western Australia, Labor's promised to reduce Colin Barnett's debt by putting half of future iron ore royalties towards paying down the colossal amount. And the Darwin Festival has secured core government funding and appointed a new board after financial struggles left the festival's future in limbo last year. This is Air News. Tennis and Australia's hopes of returning to the head table of women's tennis are hanging by a thread after Alicia Molik's team lost the opening singles rubbers of their Fed Cup World Group 2 tie against Ukraine in Kharkiv. Ashley Barty took the first set against world number 13, Evina Svitolina, before Svitolina won the match 4-6, 6-1, 6-2. In the other singles match, Daria Gavrilova was defeated in straight sets by Lucia Sarenko, 6-2, 6-3. Gavrilova will face longtime friend Svitolina in today's opening rubber before Barty and Sarenko do battle ahead of the potentially decisive doubles clash. Collingwood's let 4 competition points slip through their fingers and may face tribunal trouble after blowing a lead to go down to Melbourne by 19 points in the AFL women's competition at Princess Park. A 6-goal blitz in the second half from the Demons, including a spectacular pair from Kat Phillips, helped them keep Collingwood scoreless in the second half and execute an extraordinary 38-point turnaround. The run out 7-2, 44-4-1, 25 winners. And in football, Melbourne City's second stringers have shown their wares, earning a point with a gritty comeback to draw 2-2 with the Roar in Brisbane. McLaren put Brisbane ahead from the spot on 33 minutes and then got his second in first half stoppage time. It took around 15 minutes into the second half before City replied through Kamu, and a penalty to City then following a shirt tug brought them level. For Melbourne City, 16-year-old right back Dylan Pirias has become the A-League's first player born this century. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. Sydney's weather. Heading today, Jimmy, for a top temperature of 29. Gee, that sounds good, doesn't it, compared to the weather we've had in the last few days.
It does.
Be partly cloudy. There's a slight chance of a shower later in the day. As I said, Sydney heading for a top temperature of 29 degrees today. It is much hotter out in the west. Mm. Jimmy, what's the temperature currently in Balmain? And talking about west, way out west in Bourke.
Right now in Balmain, it is 24 degrees, which seems to be pretty much the case all around Sydney town. Out at Bourke today, though, very hot, becoming windy. So very hot for Bourke equals 47 degrees.
We're getting ready, gonna look out west. Everyone's on their way
to the championship.
Don't miss all the excitement of racing's premier event. The country championships are coming to Dubbo.
Come on, come on, come on.
The Championships, Dubbo, Sunday, February 19.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
If you buy a new fridge or washing machine at Bingley, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver your fridge or washer free. We'll unbox it and unpack it free. We'll take away the packaging free. And Mum will take away your old fridge or washer free. So there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will. But it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes Asco and Miller. Delivery areas and times are subject to terms and conditions. See in store or bingley.com.au for full details.
And then came Flying Artie, the capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second. The capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length to Yankee Rose.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're up nice and early, ready for a bright Sunday. It's a lot cooler in Sydney town, still very hot around the state of New South Wales, so please be careful. Extreme fire danger.
Catastrophic.
Yeah, so really, really careful around that. Growing up in the bush, as you and I did, Raymond, we know it.
Hunter Northwest and sort of the northern western regions of the state today.
Yeah.
Catastrophic. So our thoughts and prayers with the firefighters. Hopefully nothing happens.
Not required.
But the situation doesn't look very good at the moment, Jim. Extremely hot weather. As you said, Bourke, 47.
47 degrees in Bourke. So, as we've said, very, very hot around the state of New South Wales. Cooler conditions in Sydney after 2 days of blistering heat. And as a result of that, there's been chaos from a sporting point of view, if you could call it that. I mean, races off yesterday, Sydney Great Cricket off, lots of junior sport off. Some played. See, the Sheffield Shield still went ahead at the SCG, so that was pretty much
would have been hot day.
2 days of just fielding in absolute blistering heat for Queensland, which is always good.
There. Kept them out there, though.
Yeah, exactly. That was fantastic. They did get a bit of a bat and then none for about 80-odd, and so just goes to show it's a road out there at the SCG. Mm. Big program today, Roman.
Who we got, Jim?
We've got race replays. Now, how? I hear you ask. Was there racing in Melbourne, was there?
Decent meeting at Caulfield.
There's no doubt about you. You can put this segment on no matter what, okay? Because I was last night sending you a text going,
what are we
going
to do?
No racing plays, and you just sent back one word.
Caulfield.
But right, fair enough. You got me.
Big day at Caulfield, Jim.
Yeah, it was. Peter Snowden, David Hayes. We'll have a chat to those two gentlemen. Andy Pascalidis from the World of Football. Just give you a score update because there is English Premier League action right now, and Liverpool 2-0 up in this big clash against Tottenham Hotspur. That's into the 81st minute now. They're up 2-0 after 18 minutes. It's 2-0 after 81 minutes, so we'll speak to Andy Pascalidis about that. Thursday night, Sydney FC played another win for them against Wellington. No one there. Strange night to be playing it, to be honest.
Thursday night,
don't you think?
19 games, though, Jim, without defeat. Sydney FC won 3-1, and they're just cruising along very nicely under Graham Arnold, aren't they?
Well, better than that. Mm. They're dominating.
They are.
They're dominating.
Currently 12 points clear of Melbourne victory.
I saw Arnie on Thursday as he was getting ready for the game, but very disappointing crowd there, especially given the fact that they're well and truly on top in the competition. You know, you think that might attract a few more. Speaking of attracting a few more, we'll attract a couple of callers today to be for the Event Cinemas quiz.
Yep.
Courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Just a little score update on that, Raymond.
What is the score now?
You're not off the mark, mate. Like, seriously. Work to do.
This is almost becoming a talk topic. Greatest losing streaks in sport. I'm getting up there. It's 5-0, isn't it?
5-0, that's correct, yeah. Our legend of the game today, we're looking forward to this, on the eve of NBL finals, an NBL, Australian basketball legend, Shane the Hammer Heel, commentates now for Fox Sports. Of course, you can catch all the finals on Fox Sports of the NBL action, but Sydney Kings.
They're out.
Gee, we got excited early in the season, didn't we?
Yeah,
Andrew Gaze, this is going to be... This is a change, and... No, it's not happening for them. But Shane Heal will be able to talk us through his career. We'll look forward to that. Incredible career. A couple of stints in the NBA. Mm. Just the four Olympics.
Captain in 2004 in Athens.
Correct. We'll have Jamie Rogers from tab.com.au. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. We'll have a chat with Darren Pearce, the CEO of the ATC. Just give us our thoughts about what's going to happen on Monday, how it will work for punters and for patrons who want to get out there and have a look at Winx at Royal Randwick. I think there'll still be plenty of people who want to do that.
Well, the opportunity is there now because they've rescheduled that race program so that the Apollo Stakes is now race 8, run at 5:40 for Winx. So
okay.
People at work can duck off.
Did I see free entry?
Free entry as well. So.
Yep, good one. So we'll have a chat to Darren Pearce about that. Just the impact, and you know those decisions aren't taken lightly, are they? They did it on Friday afternoon to cancel the races and all the thought process that goes along with that. So look forward to that one. Also looking forward to your calls throughout the course of the morning, 1353 53, the open line number. You can get us on the SMS as well, 0419-SMS-BSB. That's 0419-767-272, and of course you can get us at Big Sports WEND is our Twitter address. Lots of rugby league games over the course of the weekend. The trials continue, and of course we had the Indigenous All-Stars game on Friday night. What were your thoughts on that? Give us a call if you were watching. A lot of people were, understandably so. I've got to say, in the war cry, when they bobbed down the players and up
English
pops
got up.
GI,
great
think, wow,
theater.
How good's that? Oh, good morning, Rome.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone. Is it right that that game is under threat?
It's not being played next year because of, in 2017, at the back end of this season, of course, there's the Rugby League World Cup being held here in Australia and New Zealand. And as a result of that, they said, look, let's just give it a break. There's no date being locked in yet for the Auckland Nines. Well, let's call it the Nines. It may
could
not be in Auckland.
Yeah, that's right.
So the schedule is a little bit of a movable feast at the moment for the start of next year.
I think it's a great concept, Jim. And obviously the Indigenous team, it means a lot to them. How much would it have meant for Laurie Daly to have a chance to coach Jonathan Thurston and Greg Inglis at rep level rather than have to coach against them all the time?
Good point.
He would have loved that.
Good point.
It was great to watch. And isn't Thurston just a marvel? Like, comes off the Nines, man the match performance, brilliant.
Yes.
But the theatre of it, as you said, I love the concept, and I hope there's a spot found for it.
Did you see the photo of Ash Taylor as a 15-year-old?
Yeah, with Jonathan Thurston.
How good's that?
And the advice that Thurston said, finish your high school.
Yeah.
And then get stuck into it. And he took his advice. Yeah.
He's strong on that all the time. He played really well, Ash Taylor. Mm. The injury coming out to Jared Croker was the concern.
Yeah.
The problem with it is this. And if anyone can find a solution, you know, we'll take them on board. For one team, it means so much. For the other team, not so much.
I know where you're coming from.
You know, a lot of people withdraw from the world team and you know, whether they're injured or minor injury or, you know, who knows. But so they've got to play it against a team that does mean a lot to. So if you had the Indigenous All-Stars versus Tonga, or Indigenous All-Stars versus Samoa.
Yep.
Just as the pre-season game.
Yes.
To be honest, I'm not drawn to that game because of who's playing for the world side.
I'm drawn because of the Indigenous game, yeah.
Correct.
Well, Gus Gould, I know Gus thinks outside the square on a lot of things. Did you hear his comments about potentially an Indigenous team in the World Cup?
Yes.
I thought it was extraordinary. And the more you thought about it, you know, that's Gus. He always thinks outside the square.
Mm.
But it's got merit.
I'm not sure about a World Cup. I'm not sure about playing Test matches.
Then Australia will lose some of their best players, obviously.
So. Yeah.
But it is an interesting concept. It gets you thinking about it.
Well, speaking of interesting concepts, I was speaking to Ivan Cleary. I bumped into Ivan after the Nines. I think it was Monday morning or Tuesday morning. Anyway, I said, oh, were you over there watching Nathan? He said, no, I didn't make it over, which is he was a little bit disappointed about, given the fact they went so well and Nathan played so well. But he said he was talking to Trent Robinson, the Roosters coach, and they were discussing the future of the Nines. They love the concept. They love the showcase that it brings to the code. But they think at an international level, it could have a lot of merit because a format like the Nines brings sort of everyone back into it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so there's a chance that Tonga, if Tonga played Australia in the Nines,
much
they could
more
beat
even
them.
Contest. Absolutely.
If PNG played Australia in the Nines, they're a chance. They'll beat them at some stage.
Yep.
So rather than have, and let's be careful what we call a meaningless test matches at a Four Nations or a Tri-Nations at the end of a season, have a Nines tournament.
It's a great concept again.
Because,
worth exploring.
Because you're fostering the game in those other regions. To be honest, might even give England a chance to have a win every now and then. And I'm being serious about
Wayne Bennett could smile.
Well, now you're getting carried away, Raymond. But that's what I'm... And I thought, gee, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. So there you go. There's a concept that's born out of a Nines tournament.
Were you surprised all the trial games went ahead last night?
Not at all.
In and around Sydney?
Not at all.
Despite the weather?
No.
Because it was still in the low 40s out my way until well into the evening last night.
Yeah. What's the latest phenomenon with the weather getting hotter later in the day? How has that come about? Because remember, back in the day, it used to be 2 o'clock would be the hottest part of the day, and then it would get cooler from that point. Now the hottest part of the day is 5 o'clock.
The weather's changed.
Since when? Oh, absolutely. Since when's that been going on?
A whole new debate, then. This opens up a whole new debate if you go there.
Anyway, what I was surprised at is this, Raymond, that Sydney grade cricket was cancelled.
Yeah, I know.
Since 1893, the move yesterday by the Sydney Cricket Association, or the day before, was unprecedented.
I'm tipping that you would have played in very, very hot conditions during your career.
Of course we did. Yeah. Who'll ever forget the day at Raby number 2 out at Campbelltown, where there we are, the thirsty thirds taking on Campbelltown, the might of Campbelltown in the Sydney Grade Cricket Association. I got in my car at 6 o'clock. I got in my car at 6 o'clock. After the day's play, and it said on the dashboard 43 degrees at 6 o'clock. And that was tough conditions. Admittedly, the umpire at square leg fainted. That's a true story.
I can remember playing at
the main
oval at Richmond. Used to love playing there because it was a great batting track. But we filled it all day this day. Did a Queensland. We're in the field all day.
Yeah.
I reckon it was 46, 47. And that hot northy was blowing.
Yeah.
And it was just the worst possible conditions. I got sunstroke.
But
I was
crook. Did you do it?
You had to.
Why do we not do it now?
Okay, can I go there?
Yes.
I think the races are a great example, Jim.
Mm.
If I can understand why they got called off yesterday, because there's now what they call the wet bulb meter.
Yes. Which is in the tennis we used to see the wet bulb.
It's a measure of the temperature combined with humidity.
Mm.
If both are high and it gets above 30, that's when the health and safety of horse and rider is compromised.
Mm.
It was extreme yesterday. I think the temperatures around Randwick area was around 40 degrees at some point during the afternoon.
Right.
Hence the decision to call them off. If you might say in the old days they would have run, Jim, and they would have 10, 20
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah.
But
3 years ago.
Even. But times have changed. Animal welfare groups now are extremely vocal. They have anti-racing agendas, et cetera.
Sure.
If anything had have happened to horse or rider yesterday due to the extreme weather conditions, I won't say who it was, but one high-profile commentator told me on Friday, racing would be over. The end of racing. We've seen what happened to jumps racing around Australia.
Yeah.
So it's similar.
You can't blame the industry. You've got to blame the weather. Well, you're blowing the weather on that one.
What I'm trying to say is it's a new era in terms of welfare.
Rightly or wrongly. Yeah. And see, that's the other thing. Can you imagine the exposure of Sydney grade cricket if a player in fourth grade game didn't take any water to the game, didn't drink anything, collapses and has some sort of damage to...
In this litigious era, Jim.
Exactly. So... I understand it. I'm not sure I agree with it. Mm. Anyway, we'll take your thoughts on that. 1353-53. I bet you somewhere in New South Wales, out there in the wider country area today, they are playing cricket. I wouldn't be surprised they'd be playing at Bourke, despite the fact that it's going to be windy and 47 degrees. I tell you what, I hope you're bowling with the wind and not into it.
They raced at Walker yesterday.
There you go. There you go. 1353-53, the open line number. It's going to give us our talk topic. We're going to release that, Raymond, after a little break.
Here's your chance to enjoy a night at the races in the company of a host of sporting stars. Susie Moroney, Teresa Pelias, Molly Gray, Sporting Sisters Abby and Carly McCulloch are just some of the special guests attending this fabulous Women in Sport function, hosted by our very own Jamie Rogers. Speakers, fashions, lucky prizes, three-course dinner, drinks and more from 6 p.m. this Friday night at Canterbury Racecourse. Get a group together and book now at heartbeaterfootball.com.au.
The Penrith Mazda Centre 3-day clearance sale must end Sunday. All new vehicles sold will receive $500 worth of genuine Mazda accessories, plus great factory bonuses. With over 300 new vehicles in stock, you're sure to get a great deal. Don't miss out on the best price on a new Mazda this weekend. Hurry into Penrith Mazda Centre, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer and family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
Gavelhouse.com's latest bloodstock auction catalogue is online now. Join us and bid from wherever you are, whether at home, out and about, or on the farm. Hurry, bidding closes this Monday at 7 p.m. Visit gavelhouse.com to start bidding.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
My husband lost his beer gut and now is happier and healthier than ever, thanks to the Man Shake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
With lips closed and eyes sealed.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Love to hear your thoughts on all things sport. You can call us on 1353 53 or SMS on 0419 767 272.
Can I get a positive out of yesterday, Raymond?
Yeah. Fine away.
Yeah. None of your tips lost.
You're a hard man.
There you go.
You're a hard man, Jimmy.
There you go.
I didn't do too well at Caulfield. Here's a SMS from Sexy Eyes from Mudgee. Morning, gentlemen, and Jimmy. Can I please get a weather forecast at Orange today as we are on our way over for our first round of golf pennants against Dubbo? Okay.
Oh, I hope you shanked the first one, Sexy Eyes, anyway.
I hope you shoot us. So it's currently 24 degrees in Orange, heading for a top temperature of 33 degrees, cloudy, possible shower or two. So,
Sexy Eyes, put a hat on, put some sunscreen on, and take a bottle of water with you. In fact, if you know, take two if you want to be careful about it. Seriously, you'll be right, buddy. 1353-53, the open line number. So extreme weather conditions. Mm. Cancellations.
It's inspired our talk topic.
It has inspired our talk topic, as it should, given what we've had over the last couple of days. Mm. So extreme weather conditions. Who'll ever forget? No one can. The time it snowed down at Canberra in 2000 when the West Tigers were taking on the Canberra Raiders. Sean Garlick was a sideline eye and they were throwing snowballs at him. were throwing snowballs at him. So that's an extreme...
That's 17 years ago, is it?
17 years ago. The year 2000, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
We're getting old, Jim.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, well, an obvious one in horse racing was the 76 Melbourne Cup, Vanderham.
Yeah.
Probably the wettest track I've ever seen. How they ran that race, I've got no idea. Flemington was absolutely deluged with this extraordinary downpour an hour or so before the race. The track was a complete bog, and Vanderham was the best mudlark you've ever seen.
Right.
And he just loved it.
Did the odds tumble in prior to the race?
Everyone's got on Vanderham. It started raining, Vanderham, bang.
Okay.
He was just too good. Can I mention, too, Fiji, just very quickly?
Yes.
Playing golf in Fiji. Got up early.
This is on your trip?
Yes.
Yeah.
Played the first nine, started 8 o'clock, coming about 10, a couple of quiet beers. The bloke says,
hang on a minute. Beers at 10 o'clock?
Pretty hot over there, Jim. Anyway, so the... like at the bar, say, listen, guys, take this bucket of ice, put your beers in there for your second nine. You beauty. Out we went. By the second hole, we hadn't finished hole number 11, that ice was melted. It was water. It was that hot. So that's extreme, Jim.
There you go. There you go. We've got this on SMS. If you want to send an SMS, 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767272. Three words, duty of care. Joe.
Good point, Joe.
And that's Joe with no E. So we're presuming Joe is female.
Good point, Joe. That's today's society, isn't it?
Yes.
People a lot more conscious of that very point, duty of care.
I truly believe, no name on this one, I truly believe all contact sports will eventually be banned as well. As any blows to the head cause brain damage, it's just a matter of degree. As I mentioned, no name on that one. And you know what? I don't disagree with you that any head knock causes a degree of trauma, but I don't think there'll be a banning of all sports.
Been trying to ban boxing for a long, long time, haven't they?
Yep. Yeah. But I think there'll be a case where, you know, you have to sign away your life pretty much. If you...
Polly's just returned serve. Morning, gentlemen, and Ray. But Polly's raised a good point. Sydney to Hobart, 1998. Was it a deadly Sydney to Hobart?
Yes. I think six sailors lost their lives.
Six sailors lost their lives.
That's nearly 20 years ago. So there you go. So that's what we're looking for this morning on as our talkback topic is extreme weather conditions or even cancellations. Mm. So they don't have to be related to weather conditions. You had a good one. From an Ashes series many years ago, right?
75 series, yeah. Going to the last day. Was it Headingley?
I thought Australia it was Headingley.
Australia were 2 for 200 odd, needing another 220 or 240 to win.
So unlikely.
The test was in the balance. Australia were batting well. I think McCosker was on 90 odd by memory, but I can't remember. And someone tampered with the pitch overnight. It poured black tar on it, all sorts of things. It was unplayable. Couldn't play the final day. Mm. So Australia won that Ashes series 1-0. It was a hell heap of draws, but...
So that's another one. So cancellations, that doesn't necessarily have to be to extreme weather conditions, but cancellations of sporting events. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to the callers there. Dougie's on the line. Hello, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Doug.
Very well, mate. What do you got for us?
I've got two topics. I've got one about Kingston Town winning the Melbourne Cup.
Almost did. Almost did, Doug. Yeah.
Nearly rewrite history here, Doug.
Yeah. And young Hughes got hit with a ball when he died with a cricket ball a couple of years back.
Yep. Extreme situation. And, well, actually, they did. They cancelled the rest of the game, didn't they? And actually, they cancelled Sheffield Shield around the country.
That's right.
At that point, for even those players who they weren't playing in that game, obviously the other games that were going on, they cancelled those. But a very extreme situation, Doug. So we take your point on that one. 1353 53 is the open line number. Tom has sent an email in. This is Tom from Sylvania.
Yes.
So he's got his finger on the pulse, on the heartbeat of Sydney grade cricket, Jimmy. The fact that something has not happened before does not mean that it should never happen. The temperatures out west yesterday had never happened before either. The fact that you played a match at Raby in 40-plus degree heat does not mean that it was a sensible thing to do, highlighted by your revelation that one of the umpires fainted. Now, to be fair, I don't know his input of water during the course of that day, and he was a grossly overweight man. So, So,
but the point Tom's making...
Did you read the
valid
advice given by the Cricket New South Wales Dr. John Orchard? I forwarded an email to you. That's from Tom. I haven't read that specifically. No. Is it dangerous?
Absolutely.
Yes. But aren't we about facing danger?
To a certain point. Here's one from Craig. The State of Origin, the SCG. I think it was 83. Wasn't sure of the year. 82, 83, when Queensland went for the field goal and hit the crossbar, then scored. I think Greg Dowling picked it up off his bootstraps and
scored,
didn't
he? You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Greg the Dish Dowling. And the great Jack Gibson was in commentary that night, and he said, just the presence of mind to catch it. So
was it 82, 83?
Wally Lewis, he didn't put a drop goal in. He was just chipping into the in-goal area, and it hit the crossbar.
That's right.
And there's Dish Dowling. And then Wally was jumping up and down, splashing him all over the place, going crazy when he scored the try.
And Jack from Old Bar is 100% right. Just a couple of years ago, extreme weather, at the Anzac Day clash between the Roosters and the Dragons, that hailstorm. Remember the hailstorm at halftime?
Well, wait.
was it just before
after actually, half time? Yeah. They actually called the game off for a period of time.
About 20
they suspended
minutes, that's
the
right,
game.
Yeah.
And then they said, right, you have to go back on. No, you don't. You go back on again. There's another one in the rugby league 2 years ago, too. Was it the Monday night game, the Rabbitohs versus the Sharks? It was a cyclone.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
Sharknado, that's I think, right. is what they were calling it.
That's right.
So there's some fine examples out there. Give us your thoughts. 13:53:53. Time for some news here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We'll be back straight after that.
I'm Alder Stevens. Today's the day. Total fire ban for the entire New South Wales and ACT. And while Sydney will breathe a sigh of relief as temperatures cool, other parts of New South Wales are expected to face unprecedented catastrophic fire danger. Paul Best from the Rural Fire Service has told Macquarie Radio people need to be aware of conditions in their area and be prepared to move quickly.
We've got a lot of areas of the state that are facing extreme and catastrophic fire danger, as well as a lot of areas of severe and very high. We're going to see today the worst fire conditions that we've seen for a very long time.
Meanwhile, residents of WA's Goldfields Midlands have been warned of severe weather heading their way. The Department of Fire and Emergency Services says those in the area east of Leonora and Menzies and south of Rolina, including Laverton and surrounds, need to be aware of conditions that may include damaging winds, heavy rainfall and large hailstones. Some flooding's also expected in the Avon River catchment around Northam, Beverley, York and Tudje. Dean Roberts from Main Roads WA says people in those areas need to drive with care.
Especially through the Wheatbelt area and the Great Southern at the moment, where we have rivers rising and occasional flooding on roads.
A man's been arrested after a body was discovered in a Melbourne home. The body of a 73-year-old man was found at a home on Baxter Street, Coburg, yesterday afternoon. A 42-year-old man from Coburg has been arrested and is helping police with their inquiries. Police are investigating a robbery at Orange in New South Wales yesterday afternoon. Police say two men went into a home on Isley Road and assaulted a man while stealing a laptop and cigarettes. In Queensland's Ipswich area, police have charged a man over an armed robbery at nearby Eastern Heights. A man pulled a knife on staff at a store on Cemetery Road and demanded cash, after which he ran off. Police picked up a 32-year-old local man. He's been charged and will appear in court tomorrow. Overseas, US President Donald Trump says he's considering a new executive order to ban citizens of certain countries from travelling to the US after his initial attempt was overturned in the courts. Mr. Trump insists a brand new order could be issued as early as tomorrow or Tuesday after the appeals court in San Francisco upheld a court ruling to suspend his original order, which barred entry from citizens from seven mainly Muslim countries. A car bomb has exploded outside a bank in the capital of Afghanistan's Helmand province, Lashkargah. Six people are believed to have been killed, and this report is from the BBC's Alia Atravi.
This was probably seen as a soft target because this is the only bank in the city where Afghan National Army personnel can get their salaries. So no matter how secure they make the actual bank, the parking is always full of military personnel. And that's what the Taliban are saying they targeted. They call puppets of foreigners. But our report suggests that most of the 25 persons injured in the casualties are mainly civilians.
In other news, in Western Australia, Labor's promised to reduce Colin Barnett's debt by putting half of future iron ore royalties towards paying down the colossal amount. And the Darwin Festival has secured core government funding and appointed a new board after financial struggles left the festival's future in limbo last year. This is Air News. Tennis and Australia's hopes of returning to the head table of women's tennis are hanging by a thread after Alicia Molik's team lost the opening singles rubbers of their Fed Cup World Group 2 tie against Ukraine in Kharkiv. Ashley Barty took the first set against world number 13, Evina Svitolina, before Svitolina won the match 4-6, 6-1, 6-2. In the other singles match, Daria Gavrilova was defeated in straight sets by Lysia Sarenko, 6-2, 6-3. Gavrilova will face longtime friend Svitolina in today's opening rubber before Barty and Sarenko do battle ahead of the potentially decisive doubles clash. Collingwood's let four competition points slip through their fingers and may face tribunal trouble after blowing a lead to go down to Melbourne by 19 points in the AFL women's competition at Princes Park. A six-goal blitz in the second half of the Demons, including a spectacular pair from Kat Phillips, helped them keep Collingwood scoreless in the second half and execute an extraordinary 38-point turnaround The run out 7-2, 44 to 4-1, 25 winners. And in football, Melbourne City second stringers have shown their wares, earning a point with a gritty comeback to draw 2-2 with the Roar in Brisbane. McLaren put Brisbane ahead from the spot on 33 minutes and then got his second in first half stoppage time. It took around 15 minutes into the second half before City replied through Kamu, and a penalty to City then following a shirt tug brought them level. For Melbourne City, 16-year-old right-back Dylan Pirias has become the A-League's first player born this century. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot. In the west.
In the west.
Partly cloudy, medium chance of showers during the afternoon and early evening, about 40%. Light winds becoming northwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the morning, and then shifting cooler southerly, 30 to 45 kilometres in the afternoon. A maximum in Sydney town, in the town, of 29 degrees. What about Toongabby, a little bit further west, Raymond, and then let's head north and see how things are for Mrs. Thomas at Tamworth.
Oh, 29 is much more comfortable, isn't it, Jim, in Sydney? But
oh,
Toongabby currently is 24 degrees, but it'll be hotter out west. They're heading for a top of 32. But Tamworth, sorry, Mum, is currently 23 degrees, heading for a top temperature of 43 in Tamworth today.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. As we know, no racing in Sydney yesterday, Jim, but a big meeting at Caulfield, a couple of important Blue Diamond Prelude lead-ups. Craig Williams rode the winner of both the two-year-old divisions, Catchy and Property. He's got the choice of five rides in the Blue Diamond. In early Blue Diamond betting, Jimmy, those five are in the top six, including the favourite Catchy.
Catchy at $6, Formality $6.50, along with Jukebox and Pariah.
All potential Craig Williams rides those top three. Pariah is not. Property and Chilipa at $8
yes.
are also potentially Craig Williams rides. I've got a feeling he might ride Catchy, that they're liking her to Miss Finland, who won the Golden Slipper for Craig Williams and David Hayes back in 2006. She maintained her unbeaten record yesterday.
Arctic Angel and Nick in front coming around the turn from Pandemonium. Zapoya and Limestone waiting on a run as Catchy peels out three wide to make her run. Into the straight now. Arctic Angel, Pandemonium from Zapoya. Catchy trying to run on the outside and Limestone trying to get away from the heels of the leader. Still Arctic Angel in front. Now Limestone got off the heels to challenge. Catchy starting to wind up now. Here's Catchy after Limestone and Arctic Angel. Catchy and Limestone coming to the lead together. Catchy, Limestone, bob and go. That's a good photo. Catchy, Limestone ahead of Arctic Angel.
Got it right. Catchy was the one at $2.30 there. Limestone second and Arctic Angel was in third place. But Craig Williams, yeah, it's a good problem to have. You see, oh, I wouldn't mind waiting till after the barrier draw.
But I don't think he would get that chance.
Can't do that, Craig.
I just think he might ride Catchy, Jim, because she's a big, strong filly like Miss Finland was
right.
a decade ago. In a race like a Blue Diamond and potentially a Golden Slipper, big field, high pressure, they'll run along. That'll suit her. I think he might ride Catchy. He did ride Property in the Colts and Geldings division. He was good Property, but I think the horse to beat in the Blue Diamond was a horse who ran second by the name of Pariah.
Wait for no one, a link to the half clear coming around the home turn from Tau Tau. Azazel the outside, Overshear, Whitecap right behind them, followed by Property who peeled out, and then came Marsupial. Wait for no one at the 300 by two lengths to Tau Tau. Running on Property down the outside ahead of Azazel and Marsupial. Overshear battling away, wait for no one, getting a little tired. Property coming at it. Here's Pariah starting to launch. Still wait for no one in the dying stages. Property gradually getting there. Williams again. Property got there by a half to either Wait for No One or Pariah, who finished it off really strongly. And then,
good win there for Property again for Craig Williams. But Pariah, you like the run off. And we're going to speak to Pete Snowden a little bit later on in the program. He's going to give us his thoughts, how the horse pulled up, etc.
They went slightly slower than the fillies. Pariah got a long way back, got held up for a run when he got out. Gee, his closing sectionals were outstanding. And again, a bit like Catchy, in a high-pressure Blue Diamond, more pace, big field, high pressure. I think Pariah could be the horse who comes right over the top of them. Chautauqua was back in the Rubiton Stakes. Mixed reviews after the race. I thought his run was pretty good. His closing sectional was outstanding, the fastest
of
the race.
That's Chautauqua for you.
That's Chautauqua. He might just need a little bit further now, Jimmy. He's lost that zip for these short course races.
No longer the world's best sprinter.
Well, potentially not, but I still wouldn't mind owning him. But the winner, a deserved winner, Super Cash.
So Wild Rain to the turn, leads over a length. Super Cash doing the chasing work around the turn. Then I'm a Star, El Divino, niggled at. Dunn sitting quietly on Chautauqua. Turns into the bend, peels out. Hellbent on his back. Wild Rain led Super Cash down towards the 250. I'm a Star getting up on the inside from El Divino. Chautauqua still four lengths off. Dunn switching the whip right to left. It's Super Cash claiming the lead though. With about 50 to go, Super Cash drawing away from I'm a Star and Chautauqua. Super Cash a length, I'm a Star. They've got Titan right on the line. Chautauqua worked home fairly to get the third, but it's not the Chautauqua of old. Then,
oh, Greg's got it. Super Cash, second straight win in the Rubiton for Caitlin Mallion after winning last year on Heatherly. So good work from her. If we go to the market, though, the TJ Smith market.
Yep.
So now whether Chautauqua will actually run in the TJ Smith, or you're thinking maybe the mile, the Doncaster?
Go to a Doncaster, maybe.
So Astern, the $6 favourite, equal favourite with Chautauqua in that TJ Smith. Flying Artie and Spieth at $8 for there. So
it'd be a good race if it all turn up, wouldn't it?
Jeez. When would they make that decision?
I guess next start, potentially the new market. If he sprints well, they'll probably keep him towards the sprints. I had a look at his sectionals, Jim. He went 43 and change last 800, fastest of the race. His sectionals from that point to the finish were the best in the race, and he was the only horse to break 11 seconds for his final 200 metres. So he was hitting the line, Chautauqua.
Maybe 1,400, eh?
Mate, when he gets to 1,200, up the straight at Flemington, let's see what he does, and that'll be the that'll be the fork in the road, I think. If they go up in distance or keep him to sprints. Mm. The big race yesterday was the Ore Stakes, and this horse is just an outstanding galloper, Blackheart. But look, he might not be a champion, but he's pretty close to it. He's very, very consistent. He wins his fourth Group 1.
Turn me loose around the home turn from Malaguira, Miss Rose DeLago. Arrowed in behind them with Ecuador and Blackheart Bart. Called on freeze right ahead of Palantino and Jamaica pull right out wide. Turn me loose, led in the straight from Malaguira. Down the outside, Blackheart Bart starting to come, and then Ecuador and Awesome Rock. Turn me loose, giving something. Blackheart Bart, Rowilla really had to shake him up. Now he really stretches. Blackheart Bart claims a lead late. Blackheart Bart draws away and beat Turn Me Loose. Great photo third. Ecuador's got up on the fence. Jamaica flew home late and Pellantino.
So Blackheart Bart it was for Brad Rowilla, $3 there. And if you want to get some value for the Doncaster, Blackheart Bart is currently $15 at tab.com.au. You mentioned that, four group ones now for Blackheart Bart, but not a champion. What makes a champion?
I think continually winning at that high level, like what Awinks has done and etc. Some people may call him a champion, Jim. He's very close to it. Since he's been with Darren Weir...
Champion racehorse, four group ones.
Yeah, he's had 12 starts. He hasn't finished further back than second in 11 of those. The only time he ran unplaced was the Cox Plate when he couldn't get the 2,000. But he has won up to 1,800. Five starts at Caulfield for four wins. The only horse to beat him was a horse called Winks.
Well, I've heard of Winks.
He is an outstanding horse, and he just rolls his sleeves up and does it every time, doesn't he? Terrific. The runner Jamaica, Jim.
Consistent horse.
Very consistent. Runner Jamaica, Jim, the Caulfield Cup winner, flashing down the outside late to run, beaten in a photo out of four spots. She's run fifth. Terrific comeback. She's on target for a race like the Australian Cup.
So Kieran Maher there, and of course the middle name of Serena Williams.
Correct.
The tennis reference there, Jamaica.
Exactly. Well, Darren Weir and Brad Willer had a big day because they combined with Blackheart Bart, and they backed up in the very next race for another really consistent horse. He made it three straight, Burning Front in the Carline Cup.
But Burning Front, the one to run down, coming around the turn, he's travelling beautifully, led by two lengths to Master Reset and Tonopah. Grand Rosso battling away, and then Tally. Now Humidor still amongst the tail enders, trying to run on. Burning Front at the 200, two and a half lengths in front of Tally. Now Humidor starting to get going on the outside. The rest were boxing on. Burning Front's two in front, 100 to go. Humidor starting to rattle home. Burning Front's getting a bit tired, but he'll have enough in hand and won it by a neck to Humidor. Tally three lengths away. Third, good go fourth. Tom Melbourne there with
a lot of Melbourne racing here this morning. Obviously, in the absence of Sydney racing, so we've got some. What we can't do is miss race replays. So we had to get them in, didn't we, Ray?
What are you saying?
Well, all I'm saying is we've done it. We've got your race replays in. Now, what will happen with Burning Front? Burning Front
now? May go the Australian Cup. I think he probably deserves to go to a better level of race now. He's just in such good form at the moment, and he gets out in front, runs along, does his best. Look, again, no superstar, no champion, but a really consistent horse. Darren Weir seems to be able to find these horses, Jim, and they just keep putting good runs together. The horse who ran second, also from the Weir stable, is called Humidor. He's a real up-and-comer, and he's on the Australian Cup path for sure.
Okay, if you look at the Australian Cup market, Winx is a $2.50.
She
no,
won't
no
go
guarantee
there.
That. Yeah, right. Hartnell, $5.50.
Doubtful too.
Jamaica, $5.50. Humidor,
nice run.
$7.50. Palantino
good
at $9.
Palantino
United
as well,
States. Toes and Stardom is there at, and I'm just trying to look for Burning Front. Burning Front, Bondi Beach.
Not there.
Seaburge, Sir Isaac Newton is at $26. Al Moonquith at $34.
Just go back up there, Jim. Tom Melbourne, I noticed his price. It's $13. Now, he's running
He'll lead.
Well, yesterday missed the start, got held up behind horses. He was bolting all the way up the straight. Run about seventh. It was a blinder of a comeback run. Follow Tom Melbourne. He's in for a good prep.
Oh, you think? I hope so. I've backed him before, and he just shies a little bit at the winning post, doesn't he?
He goes out too hard.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was a great comeback run.
Like your tip last week. Where were we last week?
You were out playing cricket.
Yeah, I was out playing cricket.
I was working.
But then I watched the replay. No, what was that? I must have watched it live. Anyway, I thought, oh, here we go. I'm going to collect with this one. I was just about to collect.
It bounded to the front.
Yeah.
It was in the bush. Yeah. It was home for all money.
It was home for all money,
got
right?
Swamped late. Yeah,
I was in the queue.
You forget the losers, Jim, so I don't want to forget that one. Hey, Jimmy, the Miracle Mile is a couple of weeks away, and harness racing is really hotting up, literally, in Sydney at the moment. New Zealand have got another superstar pacer. His name's Lazarus. He was going for his 23rd win from 27 starts last night in the Group 1 Chariots of Fire. He's never missed a place. He is some horse. Let's see how he goes in a big one at Menangle last night.
Lazarus comes to the final bend, 27, one third quarter. Saldy Robbins about to go to war with the champ. And then came Anything for Love, our Waikiki Beach. And Let's Chase the Dream peels to the outside, but it's Lazarus in front. Anything for Love's poking up on the inside and down the outside, running on as our Waikiki Beach. Lazarus has to lift. Lift he does. He gets a length in front, trying hard as our Waikiki Beach. It's an all-stars Quinella, but Lazarus, they say he's the best of the Southern Hemisphere. I reckon he's the best on the planet. Beats our Waikiki Beach. Solly Robbins run third, a game run. And then we've got...
Oh, Freddie Hastings gone
on a limb.
Best in the globe.
Gee.
Best in the known universe.
He is a horse.
Even in the unknown
horse.
Universe, he's very good. So
very, very
Lazarus,
good
there you go. There you go. No market up there for... Miracle Mile just yet. So we can't help you with that. But one to follow there. A very, very good performance from Lazarus. We've worked out it was at Mudgee.
Yep, I'll go back and have a look at the results.
Was Mudgee last week?
I watched it and I thought, it's home.
So did I.
Cheering it for you.
Yeah.
I hope it gets home for Jimmy.
Because the week before, I started backing it.
We went
your
we
tips.
Two and two, didn't
two
we?
Two from two.
We did get one up last week.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Yeah.
No.
You didn't back it, remember?
Yeah, I didn't back
me.
It.
Yeah.
But I checked the results.
And?
And they it didn't win.
Yeah, the one that you backed didn't win. Yeah,
no,
I got it here, Jim.
You had three tips last week.
Mar Nero won the first.
Right.
That was one of the tips.
Well, you sure?
Yes, Mudgee last week.
Well, I must have marked it down in my form guide.
Get panel operator Hamish to check for me.
Oh, but Hamish is in on the
Mokwayo. Mokwayo is
Mokwayo,
home.
That was it.
And four reels swept past for Bjorn Baker.
Mokwayo.
At $8 too.
I thought, oh, what a great run. Well done. How clever am I backing that?
Swamped late.
Swamped on the line. Anyway, there's race replays. Done for another week.
There we go. Someone even knew. Jockey went for the bend. Eagle-eyed Phil, he was right.
Yes. Jockey went before the bend. There
took
you
off
go.
A fraction,
so someone else I can blame rather than just Ray? Good.
And Eagle-eyed Phil also pointed out Ecuador's run to run third yesterday. Excellent. Shaping up well for Doncaster, even the Australian Cup too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking for cancellations, extreme weather conditions, and other things that have been affecting sport. Of course, we've had that over the last couple of days here. And this has come in from Paul at Huskisson. Cancellation, Jimmy's high school graduation party when his report reached his parents. You know,
I like that one.
So here's the thing, Huskisson. See, Huskisson's been in the news a little bit this week. There was a massive drug siege down there at Huskisson. Did you see that?
I did.
There was the boat that goes out from Huskisson to the mothership. And
Paul,
I heard Huskisson, I thought, what price my mate Paul is involved in that?
Dear.
Anyway, whether he's used up his one phone call on an SMS to us here on a Sunday morning, we don't know.
Oh, you're a hard
good morning to you, Paul at Huskisson.
Friday night racing at Canterbury Park is back this summer. This Friday night, enjoy the thrill of live night racing on one of Australia's premier racecourses. No other venue takes you closer to the stars and all the racing action from the track. With a feature race every meeting, street food market and entertainment for the kids, Canterbury Park is the place to be this summer. Plus, enjoy free entry and $5 tap beer and house wine. For more information, visit www.theatc.com.au.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware with the new black chrome finish out soon, plus vanities, toilet suites, basins, freestanding and drop-in baths, and so much more. AstiVita.com.au. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Look, we had that, let's call it a conversation, but between myself and Tom, who was talking about the email from Dr. John Orchard, mm-hmm. the Cricket New South Wales. So he's forwarded that on to me, Tom. Appreciate that. And this is what we've got here. Mm-hmm. These are the direct quotes from Dr. John Orchard.
Okay.
Most famously, putting the staples in Mick DeVere's head.
That was Dr. John Orchard.
Yeah, in the State of Origin. From the safety perspective, New South Wales Premier and Shires Cricket does not have the infrastructure in place to safely monitor and manage heatstroke in what is essentially an amateur, volunteer-run organisation. We don't have the benefit of medical staff in place that will be monitoring players who are showing any signs or symptoms of heat stress. We also cannot ascertain beforehand if any player or umpire has a pre-existing illness. It is impossible to protect amateur players and umpires from poor individual decisions, e.g. attempting to play or work if already dehydrated from illness. With a large number of matches, the likelihood is that if matches are not cancelled, that some individuals will make decisions is almost certain, even if warnings were given beforehand.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Really does.
Actually, that does make a lot of sense.
Particularly in this era of this litigious era, an organisation like that. So they couldn't leave themselves open for that, Jim.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Liverpool 2, Tottenham 0. It's full-time. Good guys have won, Jim.
Yeah, and we'll get a full update of that through with Tanya's update and with Andy Pascalides about those matches. Just to let you know that Manchester United have gone through with another win to 2-0 there. Now, hang on. This is wrong, Jim. The drug bus boat... was at St George's Basin. Go the Sharks, back-to-back, Rod from Nowra. No truth to the rumour that Rod was sending that text message from the mothership, so there you go. But some of our listeners, though, Raymond, have... we'd probably best describe a checkered pass.
This one's from Eddie from Glenfield.
Yes.
The last test of the 1970-71 Ashes series at the MCG, the whole test was washed out and abandoned without a single ball being bowled. And this resulted in the first ever one-day international being played.
Now, was that the...
We discussed this last year, where they had
seven tests.
Correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John Snow was playing, etc.
And famously, Ray Illingworth led his team from the field at the SCG.
John Snow got tugged
grabbed
at the...
Grabbed by a spectator.
Yep.
Yeah.
The white floppy hat.
They all say about John Snow, those guys who played against him, that he was the one to look out for. That he was not a good fast bowler. A great fast bowler.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Thanks. Who was that from?
That was from Eddie from Glenfield.
Eddie from Glenfield. Good on you, Eddie. Yeah. And just speaking of one day internationals and so forth, and the 1975 World Cup was the first World Cup.
Okay.
So there was a scoreline in that one where India played England. And England scored about 340, because they played 60 overs at that point. England scored about 340. And India, in reply, at the end of their 60 overs, were two for about 134.
Okay.
Senil Gavaskar was not out 68 from about 180 balls.
Didn't quite learn the concept.
Didn't quite get the concept of the one-day in and out of the limit overs. Well, no, I'm not saying that. But all I am saying is they missed it by about 200 runs and they didn't have a go. So
that was a famous final at Lords too, wasn't it, when Viv threw three down?
Three run-outs for Viv. I think in Australia the semi-final, that was the great Gus Gilmore, took 6 for 14.
Ah, the late great Gus Gilmore.
Yeah, 6 for 14 in the semi-final of a World Cup.
Fantastic player.
So there you go. I'm tipping that Doug Walters and Gary Gilmore played in very hot conditions at different stages with less than ideal preparations.
Dungog in those places.
I'm just talking in test matches.
Oh, yeah, too.
You know, where, as Kerry O'Keefe used to say, you know, you'd walk up to Doug Walters in the bar after a day's test cricket and you wouldn't know whether, you know, he was such a man of the people, you wouldn't know whether Doug had scored 100 or scored a duck. And often Doug wouldn't know.
He wouldn't care.
In the middle of a test match.
This is from Pete at Lake Haven. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Way back in 1968, I lived around the corner from Wendy Leagues, put my strip on at home, including my boots, and they were boots back then, the old studs, etc.
Yeah.
Got to Ringrose Oval and spent 20 minutes scraping road tar off my studs. That was hot. P.S. Saved the try one by two. Are the memories.
Ah, saved the try one by... So we can't even check the record books. Oh, who were the try scorers? Oh, if you were a try scorer, you could say, oh, you know, check the record book. Save the try. How would you know if you save... Tackling a bloke on the 50-metre line is not saving a try, all right, Pete?
So you're saying Pete's not in the running in front of our prizes today?
He is in the running, but
which
what's the good prize?
Yes,
yeah.
We've got...
Hang on, what happened to our prize winner from last week?
He couldn't get to Randwick, and fortunately he couldn't because the races weren't on.
I'm glad he didn't get to Randwick.
So we'll put him on hold. But we've got two tickets, entrance and members to give away for Rose Hill this Saturday, Jim. It's Silver Slipper Day.
Okay.
She Will Reign will resume. Khan, we'll talk about with Peter Snowden shortly about that. So two tickets, entrance and members to give away to our best caller or SMS or tweet that we get anything to do with sport.
Anything to do with sport. So those people who are letting me know exactly where that drug bust boat was are in the running, just to let you know. They are in the running. By the way, here's a tip for one of our guys here on Sky Sports Radio. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Mark Hunter's specials on Sky Sports Radio have been almost as hot as the weather. 14 of his last 20 have won, Eagle-eyed Phil.
He goes all right in Melbourne. He's very, very good, Mark Hunter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dean Lester.
The
best in the business.
Very good. Yeah. Duff, where do we rate Duff?
Best in the business in
best
Sydney.
Best in the business in Sydney. So there
great
you go.
Insight, Duff. I think Duff's real value is in the mounting yard when he sees horses, and he can really tell you if a horse is read a race well or not. He's got a great eye for a horse.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, we've got an SMS that's come in here. It says, Jimmy, without looking it up, do you know what a humidor is? No, I don't.
I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up.
What is a humidor, Ray?
I never knew what it was. Well, apparently it is any kind of box or room with constant humidity that is used to store cigars.
Why would anyone ask me that?
Do you smoke cigars?
No.
Ever have?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. When a baby was born.
Birth of my three children. Anyone else? Yeah. I don't mind a cigar.
Never done that in my life.
Never had a cigar in your life? Why not? Is it a deliberate decision or it just hasn't come up?
Not a smoker, period.
So. Yeah. No, neither am I. But there's something about...
Is it?
Yeah.
I'd just prefer a beer.
Well, you can do both,
so
right?
With a beer.
They're not mutually exclusive, you know. You can do both. There you go. Now, speaking of tips, apparently you went all right at Port yesterday. Is that right, Port Macquarie?
We had a couple of... pretty short, though. A couple of them were pretty short. Chris Lee's had a good day. Had three winners up there. Took three horses...
Three wins for Chris Lee Stable. So there you go. Well done to him. Well done to you too, Ray. And, of course, you'll give us a tip a little bit later on today.
We are
they're running at Wyong.
I should check the temperature up there. Hope it won't be too hot at Wyong today.
Listen, you spend the rest of the program checking the temperature. Any town you can think of, you just check the temperature there, right? Check Gosford while you're at it. Probably similar to Wyong.
I'm obsessed with the weather.
I think Tanya's right. Yeah. I think 10 is 100%
always check
right.
Check what the temperature is before I go for my run.
You know? Do you?
Yeah.
Right.
And been a bit hot
does
last
it ever
couple
impact,
of days, Jim.
Does it ever impact on your decision? Do you ever go, oh, look at that, it's
if
cold.
It's too hot. If it's too hot, I won't go.
I bet you do go.
No, not go. Above
30. All right. Did you run
30,
on Friday?
No.
You didn't run on Friday?
I was at work all day.
Right.
And above 37, 38, I draw the line because it is.
So what do you do, though? You'd have to do something.
I climb walls.
Mow the lawn.
Go mad.
got to do something. My next door neighbour, Phil.
200 push-ups there.
Yeah. I saw him on Friday morning? Yeah, it might have been Friday morning. Anyway, he said, that's all this hot weather, mate. It's always been hot. It's a bit of a beat-up. You know, they go over the top with this sort of stuff now. And I thought, oh, okay, Phil, fair enough. Anyway, yesterday at 1 o'clock, he was out mowing his lawn. I think just to prove a point.
Fair dinkum.
Absolutely.
Down your way. So what temperature was it down your way yesterday?
Oh, it was balmy 42.
There you go.
No, actually, it wasn't a sight. Friday was 42.
Mm.
Yesterday was about 39.
Remember we always say in the old days it was hotter when we were kids?
Yeah.
Officially, this is the hottest summer ever.
Ever.
Jim.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So it has been extreme, and that's been
it's
our talk topic.
Show, not a weather show.
No. How disappointed are you, hey? We'll be back with more after the news. We're taking your calls, and of course, we want to know the cancellations, the extreme weather conditions that sport has been played. And we're also going to have a chat with Peter Snowden, David Hayes, and Andy Paskalides. Here we go. Pete from Lake Haven is still telling us about that game 30 years ago. Good on you, Pete.
Stevens. Today's the day. Total fire ban for the entire New South Wales and ACT. And while Sydney will breathe a sigh of relief as temperatures cool, other parts of New South Wales are expected to face unprecedented catastrophic fire danger. Paul Best from the Rural Fire Service has told Macquarie Radio people need to be aware of conditions in their area and be prepared to move quickly.
We've got a lot of areas of the state that are facing extreme and catastrophic fire danger, as well as a lot of areas of severe and very high. We're going to see today the worst fire conditions that we've seen for a very long time.
Meanwhile, residents of WA's Goldfields Midlands have been warned of severe weather heading their way. The Department of Fire and Emergency Services says those in the area east of Leonora and Menzies and south of Rolina, including Laverton and surrounds, need to be aware of conditions that may include damaging winds, heavy rainfall and large hailstones. Some flooding's also expected in the Avon River catchment around Northam, Beverley, York and Tudye. Dean Roberts from Main Roads WA says people in those areas need to drive with care.
Especially through the Wheatbelt area and the Great Southern at the moment, where we have rivers rising and occasional flooding on roads.
A man's been arrested after a body was discovered in a Melbourne home. The body of a 73-year-old man was found at a home on Baxter Street, Coburg, yesterday afternoon. A 42-year-old man from Coburg has been arrested and is helping police with their inquiries. Police are investigating a robbery at Orange in New South Wales yesterday afternoon. Police say two men went into a home on Isley Road and assaulted a man while stealing a laptop and cigarettes. In Queensland's Ipswich area, police have charged a man over an armed robbery at nearby Eastern Heights. A man pulled a knife on staff at a store on Cemetery Road and demanded cash, after which he ran off. Police picked up a 32-year-old local man. He's been charged and will appear in court tomorrow. Overseas, US President Donald Trump says he's considering a new executive order to ban citizens of certain countries from travelling to the US after his initial attempt was overturned in the courts. Mr. Trump insists a brand new order could be issued as early as tomorrow or Tuesday after the appeals court in San Francisco upheld a court ruling to suspend his original order, which barred entry from citizens from seven mainly Muslim countries. A car bomb has exploded outside a bank in the capital of Afghanistan's Helmand province, Lashkargah. Six people are believed to have been killed, and this report is from the BBC's Alia Atravi.
This was probably seen as a soft target because this is the only bank in the city where Afghan National Army personnel can get their salaries. So no much how secure they make the actual bank, the parking is always full of military personnel. And that's what the Taliban are saying they targeted. They call puppets of foreigners. But our report suggests that most of the 25 persons injured in the casualties are mainly civilians.
In other news, in Western Australia, Labor's promised to reduce Colin Barnett's debt by putting half of future iron ore royalties towards paying down the colossal amount. And the Darwin Festival has secured core government funding and appointed a new board after financial struggles left the festival's future in limbo last year. This is Air News. Tennis and Australia's hopes of returning to the head table of women's tennis are hanging by a thread after Alicia Molik's team lost the opening singles rubbers of their Fed Cup World Group 2 tie against Ukraine in Kharkiv. Ashley Barty took the first set against world number 13, Evina Svitolina, before Svitolina won the match 6-1, 6-2. In the other singles match, Daria Gavrilova was defeated in straight sets by Lucia Sarenko, 6-2, 6-3. Gavrilova will face longtime friends Svitolina in today's opening rubber before Barty and Sarenko do battle ahead of the potentially decisive doubles clash. Collingwood's let four competition points slip through their fingers and may face tribunal trouble after blowing a lead to go down to Melbourne by 19 points in the AFL women's competition at Princess Park. A six-goal blitz in the second half of the Demons, including a spectacular pair from Kat Phillips, helped them keep Collingwood scoreless in the second half and execute an extraordinary 38-point turnaround to run out 7-2, 44-4-1, 25 winners. And in football, Melbourne City second stringers have shown their wares, earning a point with a gritty comeback to draw 2-2 with the Roar in Brisbane. McLaren put Brisbane ahead from the spot on 33 minutes and then got his second in first half stoppage time. It took around 15 minutes into the second half before City replied through Kamu, and a penalty to City then following a shirt tug brought them level. For Melbourne City, 16-year-old right back Dylan Pirias has become the A-League's first player born this century. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Hot. Sydney's weather, Jim. We're heading for a lovely day today. 29 degrees, which is a big change what we've been used to. Partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower in the afternoon and early evening. Light winds becoming northwesterly in the morning, then shifting to cooler southerlies, 30 to 35 k's in the afternoon. Sounds great. Sydney heading for a top temperature of 29. Jim, what's the current temperature at Edgecliffe and down at Eden?
Current temperature at Edgecliffe is 24 degrees with an expected max a little bit closer to the coast, so expected max of 27 degrees. Eden, the New South Wales south coast, far south coast. Rain with a possible morning storm. Maximum temperature of Eden today, 20 degrees.
20?
It's amazing how different that can be.
State.
47 degrees in Bourke, 20 degrees for Eden.
That's New South Wales.
Sky Sports Radio takes pride in helping you to a winning day. At 10 every morning, Racing HQ previews the major New South Wales meeting with track reports, tips and tab fixed odds markets. For winning info, it's Racing HQ here on Sky Sports Radio.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here from the McGrath Foundation. Want to bring the magic of the Pink Test to your own community this summer? Host a Pink Stubbs Day with your club, your school or in your own backyard and help raise funds for McGrath breast cancer nurses in communities across Australia. You can have fun while helping make life a little bit easier for families going through breast cancer. Find out how at pinkstumpsday.com.au. Together, we can make a difference.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The man shave helped my dad lose weight and feel better. Now dad takes me to the park and we play footy.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
Irresistible, majestic, and the judgment of history will surely be that she was in a class of her own.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough break. Wyatt, because what a goal it is! Wyatt makes the play! It's over! And the Cubs have finally won it all! It's 7-10.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome back to the program. Into the second hour now. Pete Snowden coming up very shortly. We'll have a chat with David Hayes as well. A good win for him yesterday with Catchy down there at Caulfield. Andy Pascalese will have all the latest from the world of football. And we'll also have our Event Cinemas quiz. Just a quick update on the score in the Event Cinemas quiz, Roman.
You're 5.
And you are?
0.
Thank you. We'll get the scratchings around New South Wales as well. So all that coming up this hour. So it's a busy hour. What we do love is talking to our listeners, getting some feedback from them, and understanding that given what we've experienced over the last couple of days in Sydney, our talk topic today is extreme weather conditions, sport played in extreme weather conditions or cancellations that have happened famously throughout the course of a sport. You get so many different ways to interact with this topic. So we get Aussie Ray who says this. Morning, gents. Did you agree with Ramwick being postponed? yet they race in Brisbane and Adelaide in similar conditions. It was a summer's day. Regards, Aussie Ray.
Yeah, it's a summer's day.
Did you agree with the cancellation, the postponement?
I did. What did the temperature get in Sydney or Randwick yesterday? Got to 40?
Well, let's call it a round figure 40. Okay. 39, 40.
And with that high...
Saturday wasn't as hot as Friday.
Correct, yeah.
No, Friday was
very... But the forecast originally was horrendous when the decision was made.
Well, 2 days ago, the forecast for Sunday was for 43.
Yeah, so that was when they made the call.
Yeah.
And I think... The litmus test was the trainers who were spoken to, Jim. They all thought it was the right decision to make.
Yeah, and then you get the interpretation this way. A storm hit Sydney a few years ago on NRL Grand Final day. My Manly mob did not mind when it reached 40. Ron from Moree, very clever.
Very clever.
Very clever. And then you get this, Ray. Mm-hmm. Just switched on. Novel talk topic. Drug busts in your immediate vicinity. I'd like to contribute, but I have my witness protection conditions to consider. Master Monkey. P.S. It was bloody freezing at the ice hockey last time.
He's got a different take on things, hasn't he?
Master you're a different Monkey. Dude, Master Monkey. You are a different dude, I've got to say. Very, very funny indeed. Anyway. Thank you for that. Keep the suggestions coming in.
I'll tell you what, Jim. Rather than ask me, we'll ask one of the best in the business about... the decision to postpone Randwick yesterday, and that's Peter Snowden. He ended up at Caulfield yesterday. He's been good enough to join us bright and early. Pete, good morning. And firstly, our talk topic today for the show is about extreme weather conditions. And what was your take on the decision to postpone Randwick yesterday until tomorrow, Pete?
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Look, judging what we had Friday, I think it's a no-brainer. It's extreme heat. I know they were trying to be proactive. I think they made the right call.
Yep.
If you're a participant, there's certainly a different story if you see the lounge front of the hair conditioner.
Yeah.
You know, you're out in the field feeling what the horses are feeling, the riders are feeling, and the staff are feeling. You know what we're talking about. When it's extreme, it is extreme. It's very difficult. If you've got an option, and I think just going back to Monday, might have been inconvenient. Mm-hmm. This was a smart move. Certainly the temperature's going to be a lot lower Monday than what it would have been, far a lot lower than Saturday. I wasn't here in Sydney yesterday, but... it was still 40. It's 40. It's still very, very hot. Mm. It's very demanding. And a lot of these horses are just starting off a carnival, so you have runs in extreme heat. It definitely, I can guarantee you, takes a lot out of your horse. And
that's the key, isn't it?
So later on, you don't know how much it affects him later on, third run in the preparation. So I think it's a fine call.
Yeah, I think that's the key, isn't it, Pete? A lot of the horses were starting off their preps. It's not just about Winks or one horse, it's about the whole bunch of horses. And also the jockeys, too, and even the strappers, Pete, they're out working in that heat. It would have been very, very taxing on them.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. And you say it's only a day, it is only a day, but it's still it's a hard slog. And if you've got an opportunity to make it a cooler day, why not? Just 2 days later, I think it's an inconvenience for everybody, I'm sure, but... a bit of a racing as an industry, we need to be very proactive about animal care and whatever. So we just need to be making sure everyone knows just how much we love these animals and how much we love our job, we love our sport. But it's just it's a day, we can move it to another day. It's, I think it's a win-win everywhere.
Yeah, makes sense.
Pete, can you give me and the listeners an understanding of physiologically what does an extreme heat day do to a horse?
I think it's not just the amount of sweat that you lose and fluids, but it's just the toll it has on your body. Like physically, on Friday, I felt like I was pulling a tractor all day. And I'm walking a horse in the afternoon. It's just so hot. Even the walks, we just cut at the end of 10 minutes and hosing them and kind of give me the boxes just to get a bit of fresh air or just some clean air. But it's physically taxing. You know, if you really feel like you're pulling a plough behind you, it's just every stride you take is difficult. It's just difficult to breathe.
Mm.
It's a strain on everything, your lungs and your muscles, everything. And it's very... very taxing. You can put fluids back in the next day and salts and things. It doesn't replace the energy that you lost in that run. And most of these horses aren't fully wound up, these good horses. And you're looking for not a soft run, but a run that they'll cope with the amount of work they've had, knowing they've got more work ahead of them later on in preparation. So it's hard to understand if it's not an industry, but if you are in there, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm. Exactly, yeah. Hey, Pete, didn't have a winner yesterday at Caulfield, where fortunately it was obviously a lot cooler than in Sydney, but I think you would have walked off Caulfield yesterday afternoon a pretty happy man, because a couple of your runners ran absolute blinders, particularly Pariah in the Colts and Geldings division of the Blue Diamond Preludes. And I think when he gets into a high-pressure Blue Diamond, plenty of speed on, it's going to really suit Pariah in a couple of weeks, Pete.
Yeah, I thought his run was excellent. Been happy to see this one in Melbourne Way, and I think he had himself really well on the day. It's a great learning curve for him. Just got attached too far back, just mid-race, and just made his job very difficult, but I almost pulled it off, so I thought his run was very, very good.
Yeah, was that deliberate?
No. We wanted to be running the first four or five, but Craig Williams is pretty smart. He drew three and just had his eye on Karen going forward, and we're almost going to be in a three-wide line, and once you see him, we're going to be in that line with cover. He popped out and got into that spot and just made us four deep, so it just forced us to go back.
Yep.
And that gave him a length behind him, but in traffic trying to get out, and he was off and gone on the corner and had momentum up, and we were off a standing start on a corner that he's never been around before on his other leg. I thought he did particularly well to run him down to the margin that he did, but he was really good through the line. Had a good look at the track. He handled it very well, and I think going forward in 2 weeks, it looks an ideal race for him, 1,200 metres.
Peter, I was talking to you on Friday, and you mentioned to me then that I asked you about how Pariah would go first time around Melbourne. It was only his second race start, and you were saying he's got a level of maturity and about him that's beyond his years.
Absolutely. You know, that'll take him a long way too. He's a horse with good ability, got a good head and shoulders, but he just learns very, very quickly. And if you show him once, he's the second time, even the first time he worked in reverse way here at Randwick, he just, first day he was fine, second day he was perfect, and the third day he galloped him was brilliant. So he learns very quickly, which is a big thing. Most good horses have got that brain, they pick things up quickly, but to get at a young age is even better.
Another two-year-old, of course, in the market for the Golden Slipper is Khan. How's Khan travelling at the moment?
Yeah, really well. He's had a good prep. He's had a nice, gentle, and he's been worked for quite a while, so he's had a nice, slow preparation where he's built up slowly, gradually. All his work's been spot on. He's in on Saturday, kicks off in the Silver Slipper. For me personally, he's probably just a tad short for him. He's got gate speed, but not brilliant gate speed as what will be probably evident on the day with Portelli's horse there. They're going to have very quickly. Probably not his cup of tea, but the race he needs to have to get him started into his preparation. Knowing he goes to the mare, the top and the slipper third up. But he's certainly a very exciting colt. He's a very, very tough horse. I think the further we go into preparation, the better he's going to be. But in saying that, he's done a lot of work. He's had two nice trials. He's had quite forward. He's thought to run well on Saturday, but I just believe 1,100 metres might be a tad short for him.
Yeah, hey, Pete, one of our listeners has just sent an SMS in. Can you ask Peter Snowden when Redzel's first up race will be and what his target race is this autumn?
Yeah, I was hitting the lightning with him, but even though he trialled well the other day, I just think he's just a touch behind.
Right.
Knowing the level of that race and just how fit he needs to be, because he puts everything on the line. He's a very fast horse. He runs at his top the whole way. So I just haven't maybe the challenge. I haven't really locked him in yet. I'll nominate him for the lightning, but probably have a good look at the field, but maybe wait down the fortnight later.
And Pete, just finally, big team in tomorrow at the Randwick meeting for the Apollo Stakes Day, and some nice two-year-olds, but particularly interested in DEFCON returning in the Southern Cross Stakes.
Yeah, he's coming along nicely, Ray. It looks a nice race for him on paper. That's far down on the weight, and the horse had a couple of trials. He's too done a lot of work, and certainly the race pans out for him. The only thing that might be against him is lack of pace, but if there were something there to go forward, make some pace, it'll certainly help his chances, because he's definitely a better run on horse than he is up on speed. He tends to get a bit keen if he races on speed, but the more relaxed, the better finish he has.
He's a nice horse.
You're out at the classic sales, Pete. I believe you're there with a friend of mine, Matthew King from McGrath Partners, and everything's been a little bit expensive. Even for that bloke who makes a heap of money.
Yes, I believe it. When he gets to 200, he seems to think that's the end. The wheel stops there. It's tiny. Don't be frightened. Go harder. I missed it last night. I think it handled about 9:30.
Oh, right, yeah.
But the boys are texting me just saying that just the price is through the roof. You know, that sale is normally a real buyer's sale. But no, they're paying Easter prices for some horses, which is great for if they're selling one, but not so good if you're trying to buy one.
No, he's still in the market, M. King, or as you like to call him, Tiny, and of course he's not.
He's not.
As we've heard from Peter previously. Good on you, Pete. Thanks for your time this morning. Good luck tomorrow. Big day tomorrow now with Sydney Racing.
Thanks, Jimmy. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete.
Peter Snowden there. Didn't get a winner yesterday in Caulfield, but had that run from Pariah, and as we
also
heard from
him. Also, attention. I forgot to mention, ask me about attention. Great runner, run second, the Autumn Stakes as well. So, as I said, he walked off Crawford, I think, a pretty happy man with the runs of Attention and Pariah in particular.
Hi, boys. Evil Knievel failed attempt to jump the Grand Canyon, only failed due to the strong headwind. That's from Ross. All right, I've heard them all now. 1353.
I sort of remember that when I was a kid, when he went, the big hype going for the Grand Canyon jump.
Yeah.
I sort of remember it, yeah.
Yeah. Was it the headwind? Do you remember that?
I have to Google it, but I remember he didn't make it.
Look, it's a weather-related topic, Ray, so you Google all you like. We'll be back after the ad break.
Lano, what are you doing?
Mum, I'm putting the aircon on.
Which one?
Mitsubishi, LG, Panasonic, Fujitsu.
All of them?
It's a big store. At Bingley, we've got all the latest air conditioners, so come in before it gets any hotter. Outside. I'm Lionel Lee.
Ooh, I'm Yandali. Come and meet our team.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, with a new black chrome finish out soon. Plus, they have vanities, toilet sweeps, basins, and freestanding and drop-in bars, and so much more. 2U warranty over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
If you download a radio app, you could listen anywhere. Even at your cousin's wedding. I mean, you can catch the game right there. At work, no one would notice that you're listening to that show until it makes you LOL and sing the hits you know. If you download a radio app, you could listen while in bed. You'd never hear another snore and drift off to jazz instead. So download it at the App Store or at Google Play, and 250 Aussie stations will be just one swipe away. Radio app. Your radio, wherever you are.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Hey, Jimmy, you know Evel Knievel once...
Well, I don't know him personally, but...
He successfully jumped 14 Greyhound buses...
Well, hang on, why do they have to be Greyhound buses? Can they just not be buses?
Well, they're in America,
that's probably sponsored.
In it? Ohio, in October 25. I'm trying to find this jump over the Grand Canyon to see what happens.
I just want to know what the weather conditions were that day and whether whether there was that headwind that caused him all sorts of problems.
The parachute prematurely deployed as it left a launching rail and induced significant drag. I shouldn't laugh.
What was that, a Grand Canyon? The Grand Canyon jump.
The Grand Canyon jump, so I shouldn't laugh.
So hang on.
The guy knew he was in trouble. He got off the launching pad. The parachute prematurely deployed as the sky cycle left the launching rail and induced significant drag. Even though the craft made it all the way across the canyon to the north rim, the prevailing northwest winds caused it to drag back into the canyon.
There you go.
Oh, dear,
Ross
dear.
W is correct. Yeah.
He survived the jump with only minor injuries. How do you do that?
Wasn't that always the case that Evel Knievel is? He was a superstar, wasn't he?
He was
late
back
70s and 80s.
I remember that.
All through primary school, you used to talk about Evel Knievel. Yeah. Evel Knievel. It's the only.
Didn't he break every bone in his body, or he boasted he
something,
did
something like that? Yeah. I feel like Master Monkey is taking over the programming of this show program. But anyway, 1353 is the open line number. David Hayes coming up very shortly. We'll have a chat to Andy Pascalides as well. But we've got some talk topics today. You can talk about anything from the world of sport. Let's go to the callers now. Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, look, really loved the All-Stars game the other day.
Mm.
But one worrying thing for Canterbury supporters, which I'm neutral now, was just Moses Emboy still has no quality kicking game at all. I mean, what are they doing at that club to try and develop this guy, who I believe is an outside back anyway?
Where in the outside backs?
Centre, fullback, because...
Fullback, I think he could be a fullback, you know. Mm.
Does he? But does he? He has no kicking game. It's terrible.
No. Mm. Well, he's not got no kicking game, but it's certainly... Well, when you put him up against a Jonathan Thurston, it shows you what one kicking game is and then what another one is.
Well, let's put it this way. His kicking game is extremely poor. Look, I think he's a wonderful talent, but he's just using... I know I've had a debate, you know, well, with different people about that, and, you know, one former Canterbury, you know, international reckons he's a halfback. Well, sorry, not at all. And it's really worrying, you know, Canterbury, and it's just its attitude to the Auckland Nines. You know, I just don't get it why, you know, Des Hasler so negative towards it. Fans just, you know, were filthy on social media that Canterbury just don't seem to care about it. And, you know, whilst everyone's tipping Newcastle to have the most losses, you know, regrettably, I think Canterbury is a wonderful, you know, you'll get fantastic, it'll be a great bet. They'll give you a great run for your money to run, you know, get the most losses because, I, you know, it's just depressing for Canterbury fans. I don't know what you would think about the club going forward, what you think about them yourself and Ray.
I don't think they're in the market for the most losses. What I do think that it's going to be a vital year for Des Hasler, quite obviously. But it's not so much if they win or lose, it's how they play. I think he's more.
That's probably the key, isn't it?
It's more. It's,
get
that's
the fans
more
happy, bring them back to the game.
Yeah.
To watch, you know.
Yeah. I reckon even the players, the players would want to play. Yeah. They want to, they have a style that they recognise has not been successful for them, and they'd want to make changes to
and
it. So
Moses Mbai, when he's let off the leash, so to speak, he's a really good attacking player.
He's a ball runner.
He's very good to watch.
And the problem with the Bulldogs side is, and thank you very much for your call, Adrian, the problem with the Bulldogs side is they don't have a halfback.
Mm.
It's almost recognised that they don't have a halfback.
I know, yeah.
Josh Reynolds, in many ways, Josh Reynolds is a really good 14. You know, a guy can come
off the bench
and
give you energy.
Maybe at a dummy half,
yep.
You know, just following the ball around, like a Daniel Mortimer type player.
Yep.
But there's no halfback there, and that is a concern. It's maybe a wider concern for the whole game itself that there's fewer and fewer halfbacks coming through, but that's a separate issue. But That's one of the
cycles.
Things I think is a, an
goes
issue.
In
saying that, the bloke who does play like a halfback is Sam Cassiano. He looks a lot lighter, and I'm telling
he's
you,
dropped weight.
His average minutes have been going down. Get more minutes out of him. Mm. He will do good things for the Bulldogs this year. 13-53-53, the open line number. Rod is there. Hello, Rod.
How you going, guys?
Good morning,
really
Rod.
Well, mate.
Hey, listen, is that like a Canterbury supporter?
No.
It used to be. Canterbury?
In less worrying times now for Canterbury supporters, Adrian's no longer a Canterbury
he's
supporter.
Neutral, he says,
so.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be cheering if that was the case.
Yeah.
I was a Bulldog supporter. I never had a bloke whine and whinge about his team so much in his life. Anyway,
imagine the sides he doesn't like.
A good test for Des Hasler is going to be to see how Tony Williams goes this year at Cronulla.
Mm. Well, that's a good point, Rod. The other thing about the Nines that Adrian said too, why wouldn't you try in the Nines?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I understand the threat of injury, but wouldn't you have a good hard go at it?
It seems like a bad sign for your club, really.
I agree.
Well, Trent Robinson's line was a good one. You know, winning is infectious. It builds confidence in players and the clubs. So.
Anyway, guys, you're talking about the racing being caught off. Well, I wore it on Friday, Danny, in lovely an hour. 43 degrees, put up 150 metres of Kent Benson.
Well done, Rod. Yeah.
And you say, you know, if they really wanted to have the racing, they could have. I can understand it, but a bit disappointing to go from a Saturday to a Monday. That's all.
It's definitely going to cost some money, Rod, but I think the point that Peter Snowden also raised, the animal welfare groups are very vocal.
Oh, yeah, forget them.
Yeah, and if anything was untoward to happen, it would give them the ammunition they need.
Yep.
So racing's very conscious of that issue these days, more so than they were even 5 years ago, Rod, and that's the difference now.
Rod, were you putting up that fencing for yourself or for work?
For work.
Right. Who do you work for?
John Avon, Gibson Temporary Fencing.
Okay, right. So did they have measures in place about, hey, mate, you've got to wear a hat, you've got to take this water and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we done the fencing and we got home. We finished at 2 o'clock, it was 43, and the boss said, go home instead of 4 o'clock. We've paced, so he's pretty understanding.
Yeah. So there's concessions made everywhere, mate.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I was just saying, it's disappointing. You know, with Winch coming back on the Saturday, everyone was really looking forward to go.
Of course.
Just disappointing, that's all. But you can't help the weather.
Good on you, Rod.
Rod,
I wonder when it's going to come
Rod,
up.
There's no need for you to put that in, mate. Okay.
Yes, there is.
Thank you very much for clearing up where that drug bust was, too. It was not at Huskisson, it was at
St George's Basin.
Yeah. So it's.
Good on you, Rod. Good to hear from you again, Rod.
Yeah. It is good to hear from Rod. 13-53-53.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
smiles all round from Ray and myself this morning after we see the English Premier League results. Keep smiling too because, well, I'm a Sydney FC fan. I don't know where Ray, he sort of flips and flops everywhere.
Yeah, we're Sydney FC. Yeah. Tanya and I have been to a couple of games.
You pay for those tickets?
Why do you have to ask?
Why? Oh, because it's an obvious question. I tell you what, speaking of, haven't you and Tanya dropped off the Sydney Kings since they started losing?
No, we still watch them. Yeah,
yeah, you watch them. Yeah. There was a time when you used to go to games.
Well, Tanya went a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. That's right.
I was tired after London, so
yeah,
I had worked.
Fair enough. This man will be tired too. He's been flat out over the last few hours. Andy Pascoe. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, gents, and I will be up front. I was at the Guns N' Roses concert last night.
Oh,
there
you
the
go.
Highlights this morning.
How was it?
Yeah.
Highlight for me, Angry Anderson coming on and singing.
Rose Tattoo, were they there?
Yeah, they played early. He came on, and Angus Young cameo with Riff Raff and a whole lot of Rosie. Very hot and humid, as you know, yesterday. And the Tats were due on at 5:30, so quite a few of us got there early to see one of the iconic bands. But Axel Sash & Co. always put on a great show, and I look forward to going out to Spotless later today and also next week for the big, big derby. Ray, you've got to go to that game.
Andy,
I'd love to, Andy.
If you can get him a ticket, he'll go. Andy, could I jump in there? Guns N' Roses was actually named after Rose Tattoo. Wasn't it? Is that true? They were massive fans. There was two different gangs or something, or two different bands, weren't they? And the Guns and the Roses. But the Roses was Axel, and he was a massive fan of Rose Tattoo.
There you go.
And still is. You can see the love on the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently I just look. Yeah,
Sorry, mate. Apparently, this is a football segment.
It's a sports show, isn't it? Weather, football, drug bust.
Weather, drug bust, and now music reviews. No, one thing I've got to say about 3-1 on Thursday, I know it's difficult. Why was the time slot? Because there's no one there, Andy.
Yeah, why Thursday?
It's primed as a mate sort of night. What was it, about 8,000? Disappointing. I don't think Thursday night football suits our game. But, you know, during the Christmas, New Year period, when you're on
holidays, people on holidays,
suppose,
is different.
Might work.
Yeah.
But it's another impressive performance from Arnie's team, but that was overshadowed by what Perth did to the champions on Friday night, a 5-0 demolition. And then yesterday you saw an understrength Melbourne City, incredible. Not just the seven players that were suspended, they also had two other players out injured. Mm. So 9 key players, frontline players out for Melbourne City, and they were down 2-0 at half time and then came out in the second half and got the two goals. And for young Dylan Perez, he turned 17 on February 20. So a huge debut for the young fella. And I don't know, Melbourne City have spent a lot of money. They're established in the top six. They're 2 points behind Brisbane Roar, but it's all about whether Melbourne Victory can trim or at least catch Sydney. I don't think so. Melbourne Victory are 12 points behind, and they've got the catch-up game on Monday night because the FFA elected that with the heatwave conditions yesterday, they'll play it safe and shift that to Monday night at 7:50 p.m.
Yeah, Melbourne Victory currently in second spot, but 12 points behind Sydney FC. Just back to the Thursday night game and a couple of comments from Graeme Arnold after the game, which interested me. Andy, he said he didn't want to talk about the Invincibles or the Invincible season much anymore. He just wanted to concentrate on each game. And the other important point was he believes there's a lot of improvement still to come from Sydney FC's front four.
That's scary. That's scary.
That's a thing.
Yeah, Arnie's very, very shrewd, very smart, and he's always got backup on each position. That's the beauty of this team. You can take out a key player, and then you've got guys like Carney, and others can't even get a start. I just think he's doing well. Alex Wilkinson said on the BSB on Friday as well that, you know, someone said, is it better to lose a game before a final series? Well, why would you want to lose a game if you're unbeaten? Just keep going. Don't change anything.
And what is he going to say to his players? Yep, you're at a really good level then. Mm. You know, where's the striving for improvement, which
That's
you need
right.
to find at that
There's
level?
Always room for improvement.
Western Sydney, $1.45, draw $4.50, Central Coast $6.50. Mm. How do you see this one? Mitch Nichols, I met him the other day. I saw him in a cafe and went and said, g'day, 200th game.
Yeah.
What was he like? Did you have a good chinwag?
Yeah, I had a bit of a chat. Yeah, he was a lovely. It was the day they played. It was on a Sunday morning, and it was the day they played out at Campbelltown. Okay. In very hot conditions.
The double header.
Yeah.
That was the last home game, and we switched to spotless. I think the Mariners will give me a good hit, but I just think at home and the way Popper picked his team, and I noticed Popper's name pop up with Shanghai Shenhua.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy, isn't it? That's crazy. He was offered a contract. The thing with Popper is wherever he goes, he pretty much wants to recruit, have control of football operations, and obviously make sure all the backroom staff are handpicked by him. But I think they'll get across the line today. Heavily backed, obviously, but Mariners will push them.
And the draw, you think, is the go on Monday night for the Jets up against the Victory?
Yeah, I think so. That could be a surprise. I just think the Jets, they've only had the one win in the last four rounds. They did beat Melbourne City at home on January 27th. But they've only lost once at home in the last nine against Victory. They always give them a tough run.
Mm-hmm. Andy, we've just seen Liverpool have held on to win 2-0 against Tottenham. That puts them on 49 points, back up to fourth. Very tight between second and sixth. Just 2 points separating Tottenham in second spot down to Jimmy's team, Man U, on 48 points. But Chelsea are still the runaway leaders on 59.
They are, and they do have a game in hand. And that's the other important factor in all of that, and a game that they should do the job at Burnley at Turf Moor. They're $1.40. It's intriguing, isn't it, to see who will take those Champions League places. I'm relieved for Liverpool fans because it's been a long time. Mm. Remember, this is their first Premiership win in 2017 after a six-game winless run. And Sadio Mane got both goals, and they missed him at the African Cup of Nations. So you just wonder what might have been for them, but they've turned their season around. They've beaten the Tottenham side, who have been impressed for 2 months. That's their first loss in 2 months. Mm. But they are winless at Anfield since 2011. And as you mentioned, Man United, Arsenal, they got up, and Southampton dusted Sunderland in their own backyard 4-0 as well.
Mm. I wasn't that happy that Liverpool won, but anyway. you mentioned Chelsea already very short. Swansea and Leicester's the other one. What about some of the Aussies abroad too? Massimo Luongo, who he announced himself, didn't he, at the Asian Cup, and his performances for QPR. How's he travelling, Andy?
Look, hasn't kicked on as well as you would have liked. I don't want to be disrespectful to Mass. The shining light in terms of midfielders at the moment is obviously Aaron Moy. And Aaron's side got up today against Mass in Mass's backyard. It was 2-1. I mean, Huddersfield are now in third position. They're pressing Brighton and Newcastle. They're 6 points behind second place Brighton. So remember, top two teams get automatically promoted, and then there's a play-up between the four sides behind them. And right now, Huddersfield are third. And they're now 8 points ahead of Norwich, who are in seventh position. So you'd expect at the very least Aaron Moore will be playing in the playoffs and possibly Wembley. But the way they are going at the moment, they might kick on.
And a bit of news on Matthew Leckie as well too, Andy?
Oh, it's really sad this morning because Matt played 89 minutes. He was substituted at home to Bayern Munich. It was 0-0 when he went off. And, they ended up losing 2-0 with Vidal and Robben, two famous names doing the job. At the moment, Ingolstadt is 17th in the Bundesliga on 15 points. The bottom three go down. So Werder Bremen, Ingolstadt and Darmstadt are the three sides in the bottom at the moment.
Mm. All right, Andy, appreciate that. Very thorough update. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, we will. I'll just ensure that I go to some other venue next Saturday night for an update.
Good on you, Andy.
Some of the exceptional music venues around Sydney town. Andy Pascaletti's there, our Mr. Football. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. After that, we'll speak to David Hayes, and then after that, we'll have the Event Cinemas quiz.
Your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, has the ideal start to your weekday morning. From 5:30, catch the Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slab. Then at 9, there's a bonus hour of sports and racing with VSV Extra.
One of the best things that the Patriots coaching staff do is adjust mid-game. They change a plan and teams aren't able to respond.
Players, coaches, sports experts, trainers and jockeys. Plus the latest tab markets. Big Sports Breakfast and VSV Extra from 5:30 till 10 weekday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
G'day, Adam McDougall here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Our dad lost his beer gut.
Thanks to the Man Shake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
We're getting ready. Gonna look out best. Everyone's on their way.
Don't miss all the excitement of racing's premier event. The country championships are coming to Goulburn.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's more than horses and fashion. It's a cool hit race to play. So come on, get down, see the big horses around.
The championships, Goulburn, Saturday, February 18.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. We were talking about Catchy earlier, Jim, and yeah. I thought she was super impressive, and I've got a suspicion Cray Williams may ride her in the Blue Diamond Stakes.
Is that just a hunch, or you?
No, just a hunch. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but we'll ask the man who trains the filly who made it 3 out of 3 yesterday, David Hayes. Good morning, and any clue as to which way Craig may go re his Blue Diamond ride, Dave?
I don't know for sure, but all I can say is the filly's come through the run eaten up and very sound this morning, which it'll make it. You know, I'd be surprised if he got off her. But you never know. It's his call. You know, he's ridden a lot of winners around the state in our stable. But for me, she hadn't run for 5 weeks. She's lovely and fresh. She was a bit, you know, she's got nice improvement in her. And she ran down a very good filly to win off a pretty tough run.
He wants to wait till after the barrier draw.
He'd like to.
I don't suppose you'll sort of give him that opportunity.
B. Thompson and Michael Clark era.
But I, suppose,
I think the decision will be made in the next 24 hours. But in fairness to Craig, I think he needed to know how she pulled up. And we've just given her the all clear and she's ready to go.
Some of the experts are citing similarities to Miss Finland and, of course, the 2006 Golden Slipper winner. Do you see them, David?
More and more, I don't like going off half-cocked.
Sure.
You know, until she's won a Guineas or a Oaks or a Menzies or a,
yeah,
or,
good
or,
race,
or a
yeah.
Golden Slipper by 5 legs. I think she's got a long way to go to be compared to her. But probably in her first 3 runs, very similar.
Yeah. And that's the key about her, isn't it, Dave? She's got Miss Finland's racing style, if I can put it that way. She's a lovely, strong, big filly. More importantly, she can settle off speed, absorb pressure, and she hits the line.
The more pressure, 1,200 will be better. Like, probably the risk with her is if she's looking for a mile.
Yep.
But, you know, the slippers and diamonds are normally the first true test for true two-year-olds. So I'm much more confident having two-year-olds that are big finishers in these races than sheer speed horses.
Hey, I just want to ask, David, with the training team that you have now at Lindsay Park with Ben and Tom there and the impact that it's had, the success has been there. What sort of impact has it had on you personally to have the young guys around?
Oh, nothing's really changed. Tom had been my foreman for 15 years. So,
right.
He's just doing what he's always done and been great support to us. He's a good, very, very good trainer in his own right and extremely hard worker. And Ben's doing a terrific job. He's sort of more in charge of the Adelaide situation.
Right.
Adelaide starts building up in the next month with those wonderful million-dollar races coming up. But that's a huge help, and Ben does a lot of the travelling for me. So it's a team effort. With racing 24/7, it's just hard to be everywhere, and it's just good to have these sort of enthusiastic, hard-working support behind me.
So do you think it's a job for more than one person now in many ways?
I most definitely think it is. That's why I did it. If you've got a... You know, I think we're the probably third or fourth biggest stable by numbers at the moment, and I just feel that it's a job to be shared.
It's certainly working for you, Dave. Dave, talking of numbers, you've got a few potentially who have qualified for the Blue Diamond. How many do you think you'll get into the race?
Look, I think definitely five, and we're probably a few of them are going to go in different directions. But I think we've got eight or nine qualified.
Yeah.
But most of them are last start winners or unlucky and racing in the best company. So we're blessed. It's a bit like the Miss Finland, Eagle Falls, Nick and Nero, All-American era for the stables.
Yeah, yeah.
They all came at the same time. Von Costa, the hero.
That's right. Really, really a very deep pool of juvenile talent this season.
Yeah, deep pool. And, and what I like is they're all lightly raced. I love their racing pattern. Their best furlong is their last. And that'll, whether they win the big race, the Golden Slipper or the Blue Diamond, I know that we're in very good shape for their three-year-old year, which is what excites me.
Yeah. And just finally, Dave, will we see you at Randwick tomorrow? We've got Dibiani taking on the great mare Winks and, of course, Hartnell in the Apollo Stakes.
I'm going to be watching on TV because I've got 22 trialling at Benalla.
You've got a busy afternoon.
And, and hopefully 15 of them you'll see in Sydney in about 6 weeks.
That's terrific, yeah.
You ever thought about taking on a fourth person, Dave? By the sounds of it.
No, three's enough. It's a nice, tidy little team.
Good enough.
It's worked for the Hawkses and it's working for the Hazers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, Dave, thanks for joining us this morning. The team set up for a terrific autumn, particularly the two-year-olds, and the best of luck going forward into the carnival.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
David Hayes there, winner with Catchy yesterday at Caulfield. $6 favourite now at the Blue Diamond Stakes. That, of course, is in 2 weeks. Formality, $6.50, along
that's
with Jukebox.
David Hayes's, yeah.
And Formality. Pariah. Mm-hmm. Of course, we just spoke to Pete Snowden as well. Makes you think, doesn't it? He talks about, what did he say, third biggest stable down there in Melbourne and all the things that he has on and you know, delegating different work to Ben and Tom. So you've got Peter and Paul Snowden. Doing it something similar.
It makes you wonder how Darren Weir and Chris Waller do it.
Well, the thing I was going to say,
they've got great support staff.
They do it.
And the trainers always talk about support staff, and it's so important to them. It's as important as having good horses.
But now we've got Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott.
Yes.
The other one is John O'Shea.
How they do it, It's support staff, Jim.
Yeah, exactly. And look, every time we speak to Chris Waller, he always makes mention of the support staff. Mm. And you understand why when you look at the enormity of the task that these guys face with so much going on. 1353 is the open line number. We're going to take a break, and then after the break, we're going to do the quiz. So that means now during the course of the break, you've got to ring 1353 if you want to be a part of the quiz. If you win the quiz, you'll get two tickets to Event Cinemas. Two tickets to... Just to, you want to throw in the CD as well, because
why not?
It's only music.
Why not?
Yeah, fair enough. Just to let you know, too, 50 Shades Darker has just come out. So
you're keen to go and see it, eh?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I know someone who is.
Who is?
So, Mrs. Smith.
Tracy,
very keen to go and see
Drag
50
you along.
Shades. Well,
did you see the first one?
No.
No,
I didn't.
So. Watched about 10 minutes. It was
did you?
Boring.
Yeah, then put the footy on, did you?
Yeah, it's a good change.
1353. Call now.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our great range of offers this autumn carnival. Whether you're a Group 1 punter or an exotics hunter, from the CF4 to the Queen Elizabeth Stakes and everything in between, our offers will get your heart racing. And you can cheer on your bets by watching all races live on the Tab app. So place a bet you'll never forget this autumn carnival on your Tab app, online at tab.com.au or at your local Tab today. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware with the new black chrome finish out soon, plus vanities, toilet suites, basins, freestanding and drop-in baths, and so much more. AstiVita.com.au. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
You've probably been to some big race meetings, but you've never been to one like this. The Group 1 Durban July, South Africa's version of our Melbourne Cup, in one of the world's most fascinating cities. I've never been to Durban. I've been to Johannesburg.
You've been to South Africa.
I've been to Cape Town.
Okay. Never been to Africa, period.
Never been to Africa?
No.
Okay, so Durban. I've never been to Durban. That's just one highlight. The Ambassador Travel Tour starts on safari in Kruger National Park. This has got Ray Thomas written all over it.
It's a great experience here.
You could see the celebrities from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. You could be
What's
I'm Ray
show?
Thomas, Get Me In There.
Oh, you're kidding.
There's exclusive access to South Africa's famous stud farms, the wineries of Stellenbosch. I've been there. Before finishing in the cosmopolitan coastal playground of Cape Town with Table Mountain as the backdrop. Extraordinary, Table Mountain. I went to the top of Table Mountain.
That's where the cricket oval is at the bottom, is it?
Newlands?
Yeah.
Newlands?
Extraordinary.
The great Newlands ground?
Yeah.
I went to a game of cricket there at Newlands. I went, saw the rugby ground, Newlands Stadium.
Worldly travel.
And you know what's also there? Mm-hmm. Robben Island.
Okay.
You know who was on Robben Island for 27 years?
No.
Nelson Mandela.
That's where, of course.
Yeah,
yes.
Robben Island. Yeah, so I went out to Robben Island, did the tour out there as well.
This show's becoming sport,
travel,
weather, history, travel. Anyway, keep going.
More like 2UE than 2UE.
This is important. Ambassador travel. This is very important.
Oh, ambassador travel. Why not extend and take in Victoria Falls and Sun City? Never been there.
Okay.
Ambassador travel. Look after all the details. And it's first class the whole way. Call Ambassador Travel now on 1-800-777-989. 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just to get a score update before we go to Paul, who's going to be playing for me as player one.
Paul's happy about that, I think.
Yeah, so it doesn't actually mean anything. It's completely independent of each other.
But they're riding your luck at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying it's just lucky?
No.
5-0, I
believe. Didn't mean that.
Well, that's what it sounded like to me, Ray Thomas. G'day, Paul.
How's how you going?
Very
morning,
well,
Paul.
Mate. You've got to watch him. Mate. He's sneaky competitive, Paul.
No, best
Ray
of luck,
Thomas.
Paul. Best of luck.
Here we go. Question one, mate. Which A-League player has scored the most goals this season? Is it Bessart Berisha, Bruno Fornaroli, or Alex Brosk?
Alex Brosk.
Nice. It's Bessart Berisha.
He scores goals for fun, doesn't he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Question. See, this is a bit of a change-up. Usually it's who's playing who and away you go. Mm. It's been a change. By the way, producer Jeremy is not with us today, and there's a very good reason. So congratulations to producer Jeremy,
and
his lovely wife Natalie. Young Joshua came into the world earlier this week.
Yep.
So congratulations all around.
Did you talk to Jeremy?
I didn't, but I spoke to him.
Jim.
I spoke to him on text message.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He sent me a text, and I sent a text back. I said, Red Sox in the making.
Okay.
Little Red Sox.
He would have been happy with that.
Yeah. Anyway, no truth to the rumour that Joshua was seen shaking his head, much like producer Jeremy does. Sunday mornings here. Question two,
back
Paul.
Back on track here. Come on, Paul. Good luck.
Which legendary cricketer holds the record for the most test runs in history? Is it Ricky Ponting, Sachin Tendulkar, or Sir Donald Bradman?
I'll say Tendulkar.
Yes, well done.
That's it.
Solid, Paul.
Pretty easy one, that one. There. Question three. In what year was NBA Aussie superstar Andrew Bogut drafted as the number one overall pick to the Milwaukee Bucks, or Milwaukee Bucks? 2003... 2004 or 2005?
Say 2004.
You were going to say 2004. You took the middle ground. It was wrong. It was 2005. One from three there, Paul. Stay on the line.
Okay, Don from Fairfield. Don, good morning.
Morning, Ray. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good luck, Don. You got one to tie, two to win. I'm going to back in here, Don. Here we go. Question number one. Which A-League team does Paul Ocon coach? Is it the Adelaide United, Central Coast Mariners, or the Newcastle Jets?
Central Coast.
Solid start, Don.
Massive guess,
well
Don.
Well done. Nah, I'll back Don in here. This is for the game, Don. The last time Australia played India in the Border Gavaskar Test Series in India, which was 2012-13, what was the score in the four Test Series? Was it India 3, Australia 1, India 2, Australia 2, or India 4, Australia 0?
I'll say 4-0.
Yeah, spot on, Don. Yeah, that's complete whitewash. Don, well done. Congratulations, you're our winner today. Two tickets to Event Cinemas and, more importantly, Jim. Oh, not more importantly, but just as importantly, more Beer Drinking Classics CD coming your way, Don. Congratulations. Stay on the line, mate.
Thanks, Ray.
Good on you, Don. Well done. Little breakthrough there for Ray Thomas, too, because you needed that.
I did.
And actually, just on that, India 4, Australia 0. Four tests coming up for Australia.
Yeah.
They're training over there in Dubai. Did you see Ashton Agar?
Yeah, doing something
Ashton
different.
Ashton Agar did well in the... They had a sort of like an inter-trial sort of thing.
Did you see Virat Kohli score another 200 for fun the other day?
Well, I was going to say, wouldn't surprise me if it was 4-0 again and not in Australia's favour. But Virat Kohli, he's created history. He's the first player in the history of Test cricket to score a 200 in four successive Test series. Bradman did it in three.
He's getting better and better.
Rahul Dravid did it in three. He's now done it in four Test series.
He's getting better and better. Scary. scary thought. How do we win a test over there, Jim? I've got no idea.
Not sure. Not sure. 13:53:53.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Have you got a prediction in that test series?
Yeah. 3-0. I can't see us winning a test. I can't see us... I'm hoping there's a draw somewhere.
How positive of you, Ray, to find a draw somewhere?
Okay, I'll ask you a question. How do we bowl them out? And then how do we get enough runs? Quite simple.
How do you stop Ravi Ashwin?
How do you stop Virat Kohli?
Series
over, I think.
It's going to be fascinating.
I hope I'm wrong.
See how they go. 13:53:53. Time now, though, to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Good morning. Morning, everyone. We were looking forward to the start of the country championships today at Grafton, but that now will be tomorrow. So just the one meeting, and that's Wyong, where the weather is fine. The track, a good 4. The rail is out 4 metres from the 13:50 to the 2:10. Then the remainder, and 8 scratchings. So out of race 1, take number 5, Celebris, number 5. Race 2 is Clear. Out of race 3, number 2, Only Tiger, number 2 out of race 3. Race 4, number 1, Missile Strike, number 1 from the 4th. To race 5, take out 7, Sweet Caviar, 8, Teteria, 12, Annie Saturday, and 14, Himalaya Flyer, 7, 8, 12 and 14. Race 6, take out number 3, Magic Dallas, number 3. And races 7 and 8 are clear. Over to you, Raymond.
We need a couple of tips, Tan.
Please.
Can I have a bet today?
Please.
Thank you. Race 6, number 8, Australiana.
Hang on.
Write this one down.
There's a lot of speculation about what your tips were last week.
We'll just go, we'll get serious.
Okay. Here. Race 6, number 8, Australiana.
Yep. Ready to win for... Gay Waterhouse, Adrian Bott, John Singleton owns Promising Horse, back in the right grade today.
$2.80 is the quote in the paper
and
at the moment.
In the very next race.
Yes.
Race 7, number 5.
Provincial Championship.
Classic Records. Provincial Championships preview, Jimmy, that one.
Gary Moore.
Yep.
There we go.
So let's get this 100% clear. Race 6, number 8.
Race 6, number 8, Australiana.
Race 7, number 5.
Classic Records. Gary Moore and... Andrew
Adkins.
Andrew Adkins, who we had on last week.
Spoke
very
well.
Impressive. Yeah, very impressive. $6, so a bit of value there. Shoe peg is the
favourite. Are you cricketing today? Or?
No cricketing. Yes, so I'll be watching and I'll be betting.
Okay.
I'll be adding to the turnover of the tab and New South Wales Racing. So there you go. So no pressure on that, Raymond.
Okay. I'll be cheering them for you as well, Jim.
Yeah, all right. We're cheering them for everyone. By the sounds of things, people are backing these horses, which is good. That's the whole idea of you giving the tip. What's even better is that they've been winning.
Well, we've got to keep winning, Jim.
Up until last week. Anyway, morning, Jimmy and Ray. Any opinion on Rodney Hogg's comments during the week? I think his statistical analysis was flawed, although English batsmen averaged above 50 more commonly between 1920 and 1950. Australian batsmen have averaged more than 50 more commonly in the modern era. Besides Bradman, and only Sid Barnes and Jack Ryder averaged above 50 for Australia 1920 to 1950. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil. Well, thanks, Eagle-Eyed Phil. He's been saying a fair bit, Rodney Hogg, about a few things of late, which is his right. I've got to say that, we talk a lot about bats and all that sort of stuff. You can't tell me that statistical analysis is going to be flawed or skewed, whichever way you want to tell it, given what's happened in cricket of late.
Oh, particularly, and also back in the Bradman era, don't forget, there wasn't any covered wickets for the majority of his career.
Absolutely.
So that only emphasises how great Bradman was.
Yes.
They could adapt, and the technologies and everything else with cricket, and the different techniques now, Jim, the introduction of 2020 cricket, one-day cricket, it has definitely changed a batsman's approach to test cricket.
And the other thing about it, I saw Bill Laurie speak, and by the way, if you haven't heard Bill Laurie speak at a function, go and do it.
I haven't heard him yet.
Oh, he's brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. But he said that, in his mind, Peter Burge, who was a Queensland player, averaged 37 in tests. He said, if he's not a better player than Matthew Hayden, then I'm not here.
Yep.
Now, Matthew Hayden averaged 51 in test matches.
I know what he's saying, yeah.
But he thought that Peter Burge was a better batsman. Mm. Now, what better means, at the end of the day, you've got to accumulate runs and so forth. So that remains to be seen. One of the big talking points during the course of the week, of course, has been Nick Maddison and his... he hasn't been playing for New South Wales the last couple of Shield games. He's been dropped from the from the Australian side, and then he had a very poor Big Bash League tournament. And I tell you what, there was a lot of people having chats and tweets and talking about Nick Madison and his decision to step away from the game. I see that Ed Cowan weighed into it just prior to the game, and I think it's right that someone like Ed Cowan should weigh into that debate, because he is a senior player. His playing days for Australia are probably beyond him, but he's shown in the previous Shield game that certainly scoring runs at that level is not beyond him.
What are you saying about Nick?
I think that Nick has... I think it's fantastic that cricket in this day and age, you have the... or any sport, you have the ability and the option of stepping away if you aren't feeling
correct.
Like you're in the right headspace. So
he's
that's
a young man, he's
that's
got
a very
career
good thing.
Ahead of him, and this might be the best thing. He's had a taste of cricket at the highest level. It didn't work out for him. That's
no.
not to say he can't get back there if he can get his mind right and his attitude to the game right.
And I don't think the blame is the right word, and I don't think there's anyone else to blame other than Nick. So I'm not sure what I'm saying.
Young man, like, he's learning his game.
But you have to recognise that, as Ed Cowan said, there are many things that make up a sports person, physically, emotionally, and mentally. And unless those three things are all in balance, then you're not going to get absolute performance.
Correct.
And so for someone like Nick, you know, and I know Nick very well, for him to...
He's done the right thing.
He's got so much cricket in front of him at the elite level, but you have to make adjustments.
He has to make
those changes.
Out of adversity. We've seen many players rebuild their careers after being dropped or not looking like test players. And most famously, I think, in the modern era, Steve Waugh. Took forever to score his first test 100, end up compiling one of the great test careers.
And got dropped for his brother. Got dropped for his brother,
out of the test team for 18 months. But he rebuilt his career.
Shane the Hammer Heel. He'll be our legend of the game. It's the next hour. That